I think they like you, Steve.
Hello, hi, welcome to Taco Tuesday.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
It's the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Have no place to go, darling. Goodbye, baby. Yes, I'm going.
6:11. Get a lot of sports and hit like kind of right out of the gate. And can we make a deal for Patrick Mahomes? If we get him over here,
you mean New
Mexico? Wait a minute. He only threw one touchdown pass last night. Trubisky threw six on Sunday.
Yeah. I'll go Mahomes for Trubisky, and I'll throw in an extra bear or two.
I don't know, man. That fool's gold.
He's pretty
good.
He's really good.
Solid backup, as Joe says.
Solid backup. What are you talking about?
Hey, Rex Grossman had a tremendous year in 2006.
Is he available?
He also had wet lips.
Yeah.
Licked his lips. They were always wet and shiny.
Rex Grossman?
Is better.
Yeah.
But
that is.
It's going to shock you. I never noticed that.
Yeah, that's just sort of a weird observation.
Cubs, awesome. Cubs lost yesterday, so now they got to play. Who are they playing today?
They are playing the Colorado Rockies.
Are they any good?
They've been one of the hottest teams in baseball.
Oh, you don't want that, then, do you?
Well, you want to be playing today. It's October 2nd, so that part's good.
So the Brewers really won the division.
Brewers won the division. They were six games behind the Cubs in late August. They were five games behind the Cubs on Labor Day.
We're going to need a meeting over this.
Yeah,
it's going to have to be a full investigation. Congressional inquiry.
Something is wrong.
I would say, I was bummed because they lost, but I still went to Wrigleyville and threw garbage cans through the GNC window, so that was good.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, just to feel like,
You're part in the riot?
Why not riot?
Just in case you don't get
just
the chance.
Just in case, if they don't win today.
Quiet riot. Quiet yesterday.
Punched a horse.
Well, who hasn't? Come on, please. And J.B. Pritzker has problems, which may be bigger than we thought. So, I know, Justin's softball team won. That's, of course, the big news.
Yeah.
At 6:12, why don't we jump right in here with a little something called the Top 6 at 6.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks. Don't kick. Get your kicks.
With the Top 6 at 6, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
Some sort of technical issue in the Van Dyke trial yesterday. We ever find out what that was, Steve?
The juror was sick.
Well, it's a technical issue.
Yeah.
Technically, the juror was sick.
Technically.
And they're okay today?
I don't know yet. They haven't called to check in with me yet. As soon as they do, I'll let you know.
Well, the testimony is supposed to resume today.
It is. And there's a report that Van Dyke will testify.
Whoa.
Will take the stand and testify.
Rumor or fact?
It is WGN-TV sourcing. So,
I can't trust those guys. No, I'm kidding. It's probably fine.
That's amazing.
So when do you anticipate you'll have more information on this for a waiting public?
Maybe 2 or 3 o'clock this afternoon. I don't know, something like that.
About 8 hours after it starts?
And we will know closer to the start of trial today, which is about 9 o'clock.
Do we ever get the answer if the jurors are sequestered yet?
No, they're not. They're not sequestered.
But if they are, they always use the Ohio House because they have free breakfast. Next, Trump said it's a good thing he doesn't drink because he'd be a mess. Which may be the first thing I completely agree with what he said since 2016. He was talking about Brett Kavanaugh yesterday. The president noted he's not a drinker, saying, "I can honestly say I've never had a beer in my life. It's one of my only good traits." Again, I can't argue with that. I agree with the majority of the
president. I don't know if I can trust a president who has not at least had one beer.
Yeah, maybe he needs one.
Well, why? What does it have to do with being a president?
I want my president to be open to new experiences. I want him to understand different perspectives. I'm not saying getting blacked out drunk, but the idea that he said he's never had a beer, that means from you know, being a teenager to now, he has just not had that in his life at all. And I'm not saying, like I said, I'm saying a drunk or a drink to excess or even have four beers, but to not know what that tastes like, I don't know.
And who says he doesn't drink something else?
Well, he didn't say that he didn't.
Yeah, that's a little trickery, right?
Yeah.
Don't drink beer, but I've had a lot of scotch.
Look, I'm going to go back to where I started. I'm glad he doesn't drink. He's got enough things going on. Next, IRS is pursuing fewer cases of tax evasion than it did 10 years ago. So if you're thinking about cheating on your taxes and you haven't filed because it's not October 15th yet.
Now's the time.
Repeated budget cuts by Congress and a shift in priorities has been blamed. You basically have to be like Nicolas Cage looking for the Declaration of Independence circa 1998 or whatever that movie was to try to get a hold of an IRS agent at this point. That's how hard it is. And I'm not blaming the agents. They shut down a good chunk of the IRS, as you probably know. Next, Arthur Ashkin, Gerard Mourou, Donna Strickland. Who are they and what do they have in common?
I would say people who won 16 softball titles.
Nope. Nobel Prize winners.
Oh, close.
Awarded the 2018 Nobel Prize in Physics for their work in using light to make miniature tools.
Do you think those miniature tools are for tiny houses?
It could be, but I think what they used was the coolest Light Bright ever. Remember Light Bright making things with light?
Sure.
Maybe for the, like, surgical tools or something.
What a
Maybe
sight.
That's what they mean.
Making things with Light Bright. Remember, Light Bright making miniature bright tools? Making that was verse two.
Aren't you being a little modest, Steve?
About my Nobel?
Leaving your name out?
I don't like to brag. No, you know, I'm not like the Trumpster.
Was your Nobel Prize for making large tools?
I actually got a Nobel. I didn't get a Nobel. It was a different category. I got a Nobel.
Right.
Next, Eric Clapton reported to have eaten dinner at the same fancy Chicago restaurant three times in 2 days. Anybody know? Portillo's on
I would
Ontario?
Say something downtown.
How about Le Colonial Chicago?
Yeah.
Said they hosted the Rock God for lunch and dinner on Friday and lunch again on Saturday.
I love that restaurant. Rushed I it. Would eat there for lunch and dinner every day if I could. So that's
why? What's it good about?
The food is amazing. It's Asian.
Is it all French?
No, it's French. Asian. It's like Vietnamese. Kind
yeah.
of.
Fusion?
You can also get gluten-free there for you gluten-free people. I am not gluten-free. They have excellent fried rice.
And I'm not even sure you might know this, Mary, but there was a very, very prominent nightclub behind that building called Le Passage for years. It's not there anymore, but there may be a nightclub there.
Where's Le Colonial?
It's on Rush Street, right in the heart.
The heart of the Viagra
What's it
triangle.
Next to?
It's probably the big Starbucks.
The big Starbucks where you can get alcohol. Yeah, the tallest Starbucks. There's
Is that open now?
An UGG store.
Yeah. The four-story Starbucks, is that open?
There's a Barney's over there.
I don't know.
Oh, that's the one on Michigan Avenue, isn't it?
And then there's another Starbucks. There's a lot of Starbucks.
But the new four-story Michigan Avenue Starbucks,
no,
that's not open.
I don't think it's open yet. That's the beanery. That's going in where the Crate and Barrel was.
Next! Cubs lost, and your softball team won.
The Cubs... They're already in October form, only getting two hits against that Brewers pitching staff.
Yeah, I thought you guys told me yesterday the Brewers pitching was terrible.
I don't like Shaquin. I did not tell you that. Dave did this. I said, oh, they should beat this guy, and Dave told me that I should not say.
And
that.
Then Josh Hader finishing up came in after.
Why is he a hater?
The lead Hader.
Oh, Hader. He hates a bunch of
the All Star game. It did kind of come out that you know he's. Throwing 97, 98 consistently and just blown it past guys.
He's an unbelievable pitcher.
Yeah. So he's pretty good.
Looks like a closer, you know, with the hair. He's got the long hair going.
Yeah, he made some comment or some stuff on Twitter came out. Remember the All-Star game? And he was one of, there were like three guys in rapid succession who had old tweets surface from their high school days.
Yeah, he was one of them. Sure.
And then when he pitched the next time in Milwaukee, he got a standing ovation.
Not only does he play for the Brewers, which makes him unlikable to begin with, but his tweets, one of his tweets, because there's a lot of questions about are they rap lyrics and can he use the N-word on Twitter and things like that. But
let's clear this up. If you're a white guy,
no, you can't do
you
it.
Can't use the N-word.
But
that's a rule that applies to every white guy.
But a lot of it is quoting rap lyrics, so it gets a little
context. Doesn't matter.
The one, though, the tweet that matters to this guy is he just wrote, I hate gay people. That was one of his tweets.
That's Josh Hader?
Josh Hader. So you're like, what? That's not even a rap lyric. That's just, what? Who cares? Who cares what you think?
Yeah.
And so the idea that he got a standing O in Milwaukee, you're like, yeah, all right. That's Wisconsin.
But that said, he is. Yeah. This team.
Don't knock the entire state of Wisconsin.
The whole state of Wisconsin's on trial.
You know,
right
give
now.
The Brewers, though. they do deserve credit for what they did, and they're kind of a fun team.
And they win their last eight?
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, now they're sitting at home for a couple of days and waiting for either the Cubs or the Rockies to come up there Thursday.
Yeah, well, there you go.
I heard Kevin Powell on the Rokan show reporting after
Listen to Kevin Powell.
After the loss. And I joined the conversation midway through, but he was talking about being at Joe Maddon's house and hiding in the closet and then jumping out and scaring him, but Joe doesn't like surprises, and then Joe's wife made him cookies.
Well, hold on, Becky. Is this a dream Kevin had?
I'm not exactly sure. I joined it midway, so if anyone listening heard the beginning.
So Kevin Powell broke into Joe Maddon's house, hid in his closet, and his wife made him cookies.
Yeah, and Joe doesn't like to be surprised, I guess, is what
Sounds like Kevin had a dream.
I definitely heard
We were having a conversation before the show started that, you know, the Cubs were 5 up in September.
They were six in late August, August 29th.
I mean, do you start to make comparisons to other teams, to other Cubs teams, like the 69 Cubs? What were they up 10 games or something in August or September?
Yeah, but
I don't think it's that level of a collapse.
Yeah, I don't think
maybe
so.
Maybe not, but it's still.
I mean, they read the Yankees Red Sox, and that was at 14 games.
Right, and that team did not get to the postseason. The Cubs are in the playoffs. Right. So now, granted,
the Cubs do have a chance to collapse and choke further, so they are still in the game.
It's still a game in progress. It's still in progress.
Yeah. So there is that.
The choke is still in progress.
That's your top six. There's lots of other things to discuss. We'll tell you what those are coming up.
That's it!
That's all today for the top six at six.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Here come the Hawks, the mighty Hawks.
It's 626. How about a pair of tickets for a catered suite to the Blackhawks home opener this Sunday? Rokan and I, along with a cast of thousands. Dave may come by. He hasn't decided yet.
No, I'm coming by, but I'm just like cast of thousands.
And yeah, it's going to be incredible. It's going to be incredible. It's going to be a lot like an Oscars party.
So what's my role going to be?
You just have to wear a fancy dress.
What do you need, like, to know for your inspiration? Like, what your character's going to be?
No, I mean, is this just like a cameo? I have a role in the show?
You're going to think I'm nuts. Here's what I'd like you to do. I'd like you to come by and talk hockey.
Really?
Yeah. That's where
I happen to know that Pat Boyle is booked for 4:40.
Yeah. And not just, you know, not just any show can get Pat Boyle.
This is true. So
Rocky Wirtz scheduled to appear.
Nice.
Maybe a Brian Campbell. And Dave Ennett.
I think you're bearing the lead. Super Joe is going to be there.
Super Joe's going to be running the show.
Yeah, hey, buddy.
So that's a reason to come by.
Dave, would you like tickets to the catered suite? Hang out with the listeners?
Dave is not eligible.
No, he's not. Because he works here?
I'm married.
I didn't know that was one of our contest rules.
Well, it means I'm not eligible.
We have a special pregame ceremony that night, of course, honoring Stan Mikita before the Hawks play the Maple Leafs. That'll be emotional and a lot of noise and a lot of cheering and all the appropriate things for Stan. Tickets for all games this season are on sale at ChicagoBlackhawks.com. How you want to give them away? Caller 2018?
No, do 21.
Why?
Because Mikita's number.
We haven't done that yet? We haven't done a caller 21?
We haven't.
Super Joe, you want to do caller 21?
That sounds like a great idea.
Well, and then if we do that, we can move on, I suppose, huh?
Indeed.
312-981-7200, caller 21, you're a big winner. Big, big, big winner. Highlights from yesterday afternoon with Abigail. Probably the fact she wanted to drive my car. And as I put her in the Chevy Tahoe.
White lightning.
She asked me to get out of the car. I opened the sunroof, and then she climbed on the center console and put her head up like it was a 2-year-old spring break trip. Right through the roof.
Right through the
roof.
Good
times.
I like that she, can you get out of the car?
Uh-huh.
And you obliged.
Well, I was 4 feet away. I moved too far. I didn't go down the block. All right, I'm going to go get a coffee. Oh, wait, I don't drink coffee. And then she wanted the radio on, and she wanted to know if I was on the radio.
Hmm.
So that was good. And I said, no, I'm right here, Abigail. And I think, did I ever tell you this? When I was a little kid, I thought all the bands were at the radio station. I thought all the bands were at the radio station.
Just hung out all day.
Giant
oh,
concert.
I thought that, too.
Did you?
Great. Oh, yeah.
Okay, cool.
For sure.
Was it just me?
Really?
And then Casey and the Sunshine Band came on, because I kicked on the radio, and she goes, "Pops, it's the Shake Your Booty song. That's my girl."
Yeah,
yeah.
Are you That's listening to that the station that we advertised that plays the oldies?
No, 70s on Sirius XM.
70s,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, reliving the high school years. I'm still trying to find my leisure suit. And Justin, he's not kidding, he had another walk-off,
unbelievable
melon ball home run last night.
16, the highlight, so we won last night, if you've been following the story.
Who hasn't?
I joined the team halfway through the season, and the string of, we were 3-2 when I started.
Well, that's when your suspension ran out, right?
Yeah, that's
your
right.
Your league-wide suspension?
My PED suspension. Anyway, we went 8-0. Since I joined, we were 3-2 when I came on, 8-0, and finished the season as champs last night. Beat the Onion in the Media League 5-4. What a game!
Was the Onion funny during the game?
They were not. They were tense.
Were they crying?
There were no tears.
Not that kind of Onion.
but a very defensive game. And the big highlights were: I'm a first baseman by trade, and our third baseman called in sick. What, for a championship?
It's called in sick.
Isn't that weird?
Is he the juror?
Yeah,
suck it up. How do you call it sick for a championship?
I moved over to third base, and for the first time in my softball career, I played one inning here, one inning there, but I played a full game at third base.
How many chances did you get?
I got the bulk. Majority of the game came to me, and I'm happy to say, errorless.
Come on.
I did eight or nine putouts.
Come on.
Including a diving catch, which the umpire said I dropped, which was a foul ball against a chain link. But it was a beauty. It was an Anthony Rizzo.
Yeah, I never thought about that. You actually have, like, umpires for these games.
Yeah, oh, yeah. You got to pay an umpire and everything.
It's not just like a
Mike.
Drunk from the neighborhood
Shout
who comes
out
to
over?
Mike.
He's great. And he puts up with my razzing because I'm razzing after every play.
Oh, my goodness,
this guy. And, right? then what happened is we got down to the bottom of the seventh. We were the home team, the top seed.
The top seed.
In this
Remember
game,
the pairings?
In this game.
Yeah, the top seed.
So
remember they drew
party?
The balls?
Yeah. The same thing again. First guy up, kablam! Out. Right? Next guy up, kablam! It is best again! Out.
By the way, Dave kablam is the sound of the ball hitting the bat.
I mean, you could hit the ball like crazy, but there are outfielders. So I came up.
Actually, in 16 in softball, doesn't it sound more like this?
Boom.
Thud.
Yeah. So
Thud.
The got up to the plate with two outs and a runner on second. Down.
I mean, you
run.
Can cut the tension with a knife.
Bottom of the. I mean, come on. Championship game. This is all. I knew that, you know, I can't make the out. I went to right center. And that's where I saw the gap. I've gotten pretty good at being able to point where to hit.
There's the music swelling at that
music
point?
Music is swelling.
Oh, are you like Babe Ruth? Like you?
No.
I mean, point,
and
they know.
All right. Where I'm going. So I hit a nice, and again, it drops. I get a double to tie the game. Now, again.
Now, wait, are you fast?
No. But, again, 16 in softball, there's no clean hit. It's usually someone drops it.
Yeah. Well, it's because it's a water balloon.
Yeah. So the center fielder, who I feel bad for, probably could have ended the game and beat us. But he dropped. It was a tough play because he ran to get it, but he dropped it.
Well, there's a lot of spinning going on,
too. A lot of spinning.
Too.
And then the next play was Tim hit a single to left. And I came around to score, and there was a little bit of a collision at the plate. I almost ran
Did
her over.
To take the catcher out?
Almost ran
Wait,
her
almost
over.
Ran who
ran
over?
Her over.
Her over. Yeah.
She was blocking the plate, and I'm like, this is not how this is supposed to work. This is not. You don't have knee pads on. I'm not going to drop you.
Well, it's a game, so you can't actually stop and go, excuse me, miss.
So there was the big celebration at the plate as we...
Were you mobbed?
Yep.
Were
scored.
You carried off
mobbed.
The field?
No carry, but mobbed. And this will be the first player in... 16-inch, we call it the Cup League, the Media League. It's been around for 8 years now. The first player to have three championships.
Wow.
How about that? Two WBEZ.
Is there some Hall of Fame for this?
The best part, thank you, buddy. I love it. The best part of this story is that I woke up this morning.
Wait a minute, there's better?
This is the best part. Okay. So after all that and the trophy and winning and social media,
Miles
all that kind
begging
of stuff,
to go to the post party at the bar.
Sure.
We didn't go to the post because it was late, and Miles said he would wait outside. Like, it was a bar. I go, we can't go, buddy. You're not old enough. And he's like, I'll wait outside.
Oh, that's nice. What a good kid. What a good kid.
But here's the best thing is I woke up this morning to an email from George at the 16-inch Hall of Fame, which is the Softball Hall of Fame in Forest Park. And the email said, compliments from the 16-inch Hall of Fame
very nice.
Championship.
But you're not in. You're not in the Hall of Fame.
But he said, "Word get to George."
Word got to George, okay. and George said, "What size is? We're going to send you a polo." What size is your shirt?
Oh, a polo from the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. So how about that? I mean, I was in tears. I was like, this is like a moment. A 16-inch player to be able to be in a position.
It's like an MVP award.
The Hall of Fame reaches out to give you.
Well, based on the story you just told, I think you've earned it.
That's right.
I think you've earned it.
I mean, I'm just.
I think there's a 5-year waiting period, though, isn't it?
Before you can be put in.
After you have to retire first.
Yeah, but you're not going to retire because you'll retire and then you'll come back again.
I am going. That's absolutely true.
You come back to play the short season.
I can't wait to talk to Orion because I'm thinking about going down to Arizona for winter ball. Maybe he'll let me stay with him and Gloria.
You know, maybe you could donate.
A couple months.
You could donate something to the hall, like your glove.
Yeah, like my socks.
Yes. Wait.
Socks, no glove. No glove. That's
exactly.
Funny. No glove.
Please, the socks.
I want to get all the guys to suit up. And we're going to the 16-inch Hall of Fame, Forest Park, and we're gonna take a tour of the place, and then
that's going to be so emotional.
Get a picture. It's so emotional.
Emotional.
Steve, so emotional.
So emotional. Is this your greatest sporting achievement?
This is a big one. This is up there with some Little League stuff. making the baseball team in high school is pretty big.
We don't have video of this, but it would be good. Pete was talking to me about this a minute ago. If we could do a dramatic recreation of the entire seventh inning?
Seventh inning.
Seventh inning.
Didn't we just do that?
Yeah, you know what? In a way, yeah. Yeah, you're exactly right.
So anyway.
All right, introduce the news if you can.
Right.
I don't know now you have energy to do that.
Yes, as a 16-inch softball champion, I would like to tell you that the headlines are sponsored by Townstone Financial. Here's Steve Grzanich.
The Steve Cochran Show presents The Kid of the Week.
God bless the child.
6:44, we're going to do a little different thing on Kid of the Week this morning and just talk a little bit about what the Kid of the Week program is. Now, this started, man, I don't know. I was doing this in the 90s, I think. And we've done it through the whole period of time, all the various shows I've done here at WGN. And each week, it's a way to honor good kids doing good stuff because the vast majority of kids are good kids, not bad kids. And, of course, you hear about the bad kids way more than you do about the good kids. And too often, we celebrate sports over academics or sports over art. It doesn't mean that
over kindness.
Yeah, and it doesn't mean sporting achievements aren't worthy of recognition. It just means the other stuff is as well. So that's the entire point of Kid of the Week. Who'd you want to thank, by the way?
We have a listener named Brian. He's from the 317 that went above and beyond and sent us a really nice thank you note, and he sent us some gift cards for coffee, which is very sweet.
Nice.
And for to each of us, he wrote individual notes, but this is also somebody that Dave helped with a wedding present last fall.
I do that on the side.
What, like a wedding registry?
Yes.
Do you have like a listener wedding registry?
If you need something for a wedding, just call me and I'll be glad to kind of point you in the right direction.
He's a wedding present consultant.
He is a good gift giver. I know what he's carrying.
I didn't see that coming. I didn't know that was something you were doing. Yeah, good for you.
You're a gift guy? I just go with a check, right? You just go for a check?
No, this was...
right?
There was a connection. They were Northwestern fans and could not go to a game because of the wedding. So I
you're like Martin Short from The Wedding Planner. Do you have like a funny little accent in a disguise?
Oh, that'd be good.
Yeah.
The blue
suit.
So I was able to get them some paraphernalia from the game.
Oh, still, some Northwestern.
If someone reached out to me and it was I would just say, okay, here's a $50 check.
Do you do gifts for bar mitzvahs and things too?
Or? Sure.
How about a bris? You do a bris?
Why not?
Anyway, the listeners do not have to send us anything ever, but it's very nice of Brian.
Well, let's not go crazy. Nice. The listeners, if they have cool stuff, they should send it to us.
Well, this is very sweet of him. So, Brian from the 317, which is Belvedere, Illinois.
What is the address of this place? I don't even know where we work.
303 East Wacker. Oh, sorry.
Chicago 60611. It's 01. Yeah.
60601.
And we're suite 1800.
Or 1800?
Right.
So send us cool stuff.
Yeah. But I think if you write 18th floor, cool it'll stuff. Also find us.
Super Daddy said money as well.
Okay.
Send us cool stuff and money. All right. So let's get back to the good kids here. Now, the good kids we're looking for are kids that are doing things that just make the world a better place, from little things to medium things to big things. But don't score it in your head that way. Don't wait. I can't nominate my kid until he saves a life. No, that's not how this works. If your kid had average grades, now they have good grades. If your kid's never helped around the house, now they're helping around the house. If your kid didn't walk the dog that they insisted the family get, and now they're walking the dog. those types of stories.
If your kid is a good joke teller and might be able to crack Steve up, I welcome those kids.
That's true. I'm tough.
You're a tough audience.
Yeah, so. Very tough. So we're looking for those stories about kids doing great things. And what do people do to enter?
They can go to WGMradio.com and search Kid of the Week. And we'll get that in my email, and then I'll talk to you about having your kid on the show. Every Tuesday at 6:40 is when we do it. And now that you mentioned former Kid of the Weeks, I would love to hear from former Kid of the Weeks.
Mm. You know, I run into them now where they're adults.
Well, yeah, because if you've been doing it in the 90s.
Yeah, but apparently I'm old. I'll run into people in their 20s and go, you know, I was a Kid of the Week.
I said, what? You're experienced.
2:30.
I would like to hear from those former Kid of the Week, so see what they're doing.
What are you doing with your life? Yeah. Oh, speaking of the old days, you know, this whole Brett Kavanaugh thing is a very depressing story on so many levels. And a lot of it's about high school, and a lot of it's about college. So yesterday we were sitting around, we were talking about our high school yearbooks. So I'm pretty sure we're going to commit to this because everybody seems to have their yearbooks. Everybody's going to bring their high school yearbooks in.
What?
Yeah. You bring your high school yearbook in, and then we're going to do a blind draw of the high school yearbooks. You can't have your own.
Who agreed to this?
Well, I did. Okay. You can't have your own, and then everybody has to read from someone else's high school yearbook live on the air.
Yeah.
You know, one of the autographs or inscriptions or whatever?
I think mine is missing.
No, it's not. You know exactly where it is. Are you kidding?
Nope.
As a matter of fact, if you don't have it, Dr. Most probably does because he went to the same school you went to.
Well, he's a little older, so maybe not.
So lock this in, Sandberg, because you probably don't know this about me. I'll forget I brought it up.
Yeah.
So next week, maybe?
All right. I will put it on the schedule so we can all bring our yearbooks in. And for listeners,
the story might be wrapped up by next week.
For listeners who can't see in the studio right now, every 3 or 4 months, Steve Cochran, he usually comes in with nothing, just mm-hmm. his hands, mm-hmm. nothing mm-hmm. in his hands.
It's way different than it was in the year 2000s when I'd carry in all sorts of stuff. You know what I bring in now? My wallet.
Your wallet. But now, every few months, you uh-huh. bring in some sort of either briefcase or billfold uh-huh. with a lot of
paper.
What
would you call this? Is this like a folio?
Yeah, a folio filled with paperwork.
By the way, a Cornell University folio. Oh. I didn't go there.
Oh. Full of papers that he keeps shuffling around that you might uh-huh. be hearing on the microphone for uh-huh. no reason.
Well, here you go.
I don't even know what records you... Yeah. Look at he's yeah. acting like he's doing something.
That's the kind of work I'm doing this morning.
You're shuffling through those. I don't know what you're...
I can't talk about it. It's top secret.
He's a Foley artist.
Yeah.
He knows. He's like, this is like
top secret. I'd like to share with all of you what I'm doing here, but it's a top secret project.
Yeah. Listen to Pat Brady. Listen to Pat Brady. He's really going to blow your mind because he's seldom wrong, just right. Yeah. Listen to Pat Brady.
Later this morning, I think it's about 11 o'clock, there'll be a press conference regarding a story that broke late, I guess relatively late yesterday afternoon. And Pat Brady was on this, I don't know, last summer, I think, if I'm remembering the time frame right, about J.B. Pritzker. All right, so
yeah, it was June of 2017, actually.
All right, so give us the backstory here. This involves property taxes, a hot-button issue for everybody in the state, and an issue that, frankly, J.B. Pritzker has avoided talking about because of the story. And the story involves toilets. What happened?
Well, the Sun-Times broke this story in May of 2017. J.B. had two properties on Astor Street, most expensive real estate in the country. And one of the properties, basically, he went in and ripped out the toilets to get a big tax break, about $330,000. Well, he denied that he did anything wrong. He said he just did the regular appeal process. He does what everybody else does. Well, yesterday, the Cook County Inspector General, appointed by a Democrat, came out and said that the Pritzker folks engaged in a scheme to defraud. They filed false affidavits.
Their words, right? Scheme. The investigators scheme to defraud.
Yeah, those are and those words have, in my view, as a former federal prosecutor, those have an independent significance, and that's the word that tracks the language you use in a federal case. Scheme to defraud, using the mails, perjury, conspiracy, a pretty damaging report, and he's been engaged in a cover-up since day one, saying he just does what everybody else does, but not everybody else files false affidavits.
Are there going to be charges filed?
I would hope there would be a criminal investigation, because there's certainly enough evidence here to merit it, a federal criminal investigation. And I think that the Cook County State Attorney probably needs to look into how to get this money back. We're talking well over $300,000 that Pritzker benefited. And this money, you know, that tax pool is a static pool, meaning that if JB didn't pay his taxes, somebody else did.
So if JB Pritzker writes a check for that, and by the way, there was a new report out yesterday about how much money he's put into his own campaign when we're almost at $150 million. If he writes a check to repay this, can he make it go away, or does the investigation have to go on anyway?
No, I mean, the bank robber can't give the money back and say everything's okay. I mean, this is clearly and this is their words, this is the democratically appointed inspector general said he engaged, seeing the people he conspired with, engaged in a scheme to defraud. That's as strong a language as you can have in an inspector general report to tee up a federal investigation.
Yeah, and the thing is, and this is important for people, which is why I asked you to emphasize it, we need to understand that we don't get to decide when a prosecution takes place beyond a certain point. It's how crimes get prosecuted all the time. I had an agent who had an assistant who took care of his business. Well, she was embezzling from the clients, and he didn't want to press charges because this woman was like a daughter to him. Well, it was too far down the road. We're talking about millions of dollars. So the law sometimes has to take it into its own hands, I guess, right?
Yeah, the law represents the people generally, and once the process starts, you don't have the discretion as an individual to say, no, we're not going to do it. That's up to the prosecutor. And the thing, too, as we talk about politics all the time, and at least with Blagojevich, he got into office before the feds got after him.
There's no feds. There's no feds, though. What are you talking about?
Yeah, well, that does get it a little bit ahead. All right, so there's no crime yet because there has to be an investigation to get to a charge. Is that the way this works?
No. I mean, look at the Inspector General report, and you can make an evaluation. The Inspector General doesn't make legal conclusions. They just lay out facts. But when you file three false affidavits with the taxing authority in order to get a tax refund, that's by definition a fraud. And again, these are not my words. This is their words that he engaged in a scheme to defraud.
Yeah, and I was just going to say, but you have to have the next step, don't you? Don't you have to have the investigation? I mean, doesn't this naturally trigger that?
That's what we'll be calling for at 10 o'clock today.
That's the press conference.
Yeah.
And where's that happening?
That'll be up on Astor Street. The only time they allow me up there, Steve.
Yeah, so you're going to do it out in front?
Yeah.
You're going to be sitting on a toilet on some sort of platform just to emphasize things?
Yeah, but look, I mean, this is the absurdity of this. A guy, a multi-billionaire, one of the wealthiest guys in the world, ripping out toilets to save himself $300,000 at the same time he's asking us for a tax increase. We got 6 weeks to make a call or 5 weeks to make a decision here, and hopefully people consider this.
So has there been any response from Pritzker on this?
He said last night, continuing in my view, the cover-up, he said, this is what other people do with their taxes to get reassessed. This is not what other people do. Other people don't file false affidavits. Other people don't rip toilets up. Other people do not do what he did. But that's his line.
Wait. I want to understand this. Other people do it, so therefore it's okay? You want to be the governor.
Well, that's my point. But the point is, other people don't do it. Other people don't do this conduct, and either way, you want to be governor.
All right, so that's this morning on Astor Street. I'm sure you'll see it later in the news as well. And as always, J.B. Pritzker is welcome here to answer to those assertions. Thanks, Pat.
See you guys.
Thanks. There you go. That's Pat Brady. A minute before 7, and Steve will keep an eye on that story as well as the other things coming up from the WGN Radio Northwestern Medicine Newsroom next.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
Keep you in the dark and somewhere.
712, Dr. Kevin Most is busy, so I think I'm going to turn to the audience here for some self-diagnosis. Because you know what happens when usually you've got some sort of medical ailment? You bring it up and your friends all go, oh, I know somebody had that. I can tell you about that. That whole thing? Oh, that cough that you have? Yeah, my friend died. Yeah, that's everything. So here's the thing. I went to the podiatrist a couple of weeks ago to get orthotics, and she's a lovely lady, and she's showing me the x-rays of my feet. And by the way, hot. She's showing me the x-rays of my feet, and she goes, now, when you broke your toe? I go, whoa.
What?
I broke my toe.
When was this?
So you dial the clock back, Dave. I guess it was maybe 3 years ago. I came into work one morning, and I was complaining that the middle toe on my right foot was growing.
Yeah, I don't remember you doing that, but I
Well, yeah, I don't remember. It was very important to me at the time. So it's the middle toe on my right foot that seems to have been broken. So, you know.
Wow.
So, the point being, through playing golf or, you know, whatever, smashing that toe into the end of my shoes, I may have broken my toe. Though I don't remember pain, and you would think it would have hurt more. So that led to, you know, the complete put him up on the rack, get him checked out for a number of things. So I go through my normal, ever since I had this pulmonary embolism, obviously I have a couple more doctors in my life. And I go through all of that, and it's all well and good. But then, like, you know, I'm not a hypochondriac, but I think I may be turning into one. Because a couple of weeks ago, I'm noticing I got this weird itchy thing going on in my back. So, like, it's sort of between my shoulder blades, but it's my upper back, not my lower back. It's nowhere else in my body. I'm thinking, well, it's not an allergy. Who gets a selective allergy in one place? You know, and it's not some sort of dry skin thing. It's just because I've checked that out.
Did it get bit by something?
Well, no, I don't think so. And it's sort of tingly and sort of itchy, and it's just driving me friggin' nuts.
Because it's constant?
It's more constant now. You know when it's more constant? Is when I talk about
it. When you talk about it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Have you thought about hiring a back scratcher?
Oh. Just to follow me around?
Stand behind you while you're doing the show?
Yeah. Yeah, no, listen, it's not a terrible idea.
No.
Yeah.
Do you get satisfaction or relief when it is scratched?
Uh-huh. So that would make you think it's an allergy.
Yeah.
Or some sort of, you know, reaction to something.
Yeah.
And you think, well, have you changed your wardrobe completely? No, I haven't switched to my winter wardrobe yet.
We covered your laundry. You're still using Tide.
Yes.
Yeah.
My suggestion might be to look at whatever prescription medication you're taking.
Same stuff I was taking.
But that could change. That can change.
Yeah,
I know that.
All of a sudden, have a reaction.
Yeah, I mean, too much grapefruit juice.
Does anyone have a pill bottle at home that says a side effect is an itchy shoulder blade? If you do, please text us.
How about a label that's itchy from a shirt or your pajamas?
Oh, your pajamas.
What, okay. Do you wear pajamas?
I don't wear pajamas.
Oh bummer.
Okay.
Yeah. I was hoping that you did.
You're not wearing gym shorts and a t-shirt.
I was really hoping it was a matching set and a whole bit for Steve Cochran. Darn it.
My wardrobe is getting appropriately older. I'm into gym shirts and a t-shirt.
There's
now.
No protrusions. There's no mold.
No, nothing.
Or anything like
nothing.
That?
Still the same. Arnold Schwarzenegger in his prime, muscled up back that I've always had.
How do you know you can't see it?
Well, I have a system of mirrors, pulleys, and levers.
He also has
a wife. Right.
Dave, yeah. you do a lot of things at the dermatologist. Do you have any insight?
None.
Yeah, you know what? That's a good point.
No.
But you know what's funny? Now that we're talking about it, I feel like my head's itching a little bit.
Yeah.
I feel like,
well, okay, I just start itching. I'm like,
forehead over here is itching a little bit.
Here's where you lost me. What's the connection?
Yeah.
The broken toe
well,
to the
Well, I was
the
taking
itch.
You through the whole medical thing.
You didn't
the
ask.
The whole medical lab.
You didn't ask the podiatrist, kidding. Did you?
No.
Okay. Is it possible that you could have an itch because of a mosquito bite?
That's what I said. He got bit by.
But why would it be just on like the upper part of my back?
So do you sleep on your stomach?
Mostly, yeah.
Okay, so the mosquito would have bit you while you were sleeping.
Okay,
how maybe long it keeps coming back?
Or a spider in your bed?
How long? What?
How long has the itch been there?
A couple of weeks.
All right, so it's not a bite because that would go away after 2-3 days.
Bed bugs.
It's possible.
Oh, bed bugs.
Oh, good one, man. Everything.
Is it possible it's nerve related?
Bed bugs.
So the idea being that either you pulled something or damaged a nerve and it's causing the sensation, but it's
now we're getting somewhere.
Yeah.
Doctor Kaufman.
But if it's a nerve, I don't think you would get relief from scratching it.
But he doesn't because it continues to do it.
It keeps coming back. It's just temporary.
A listener here says they have the exact same ailment from the 630. Also, somebody said that you could have shingles.
Oh,
yeah, but you would. Yeah.
No, but shingles shows up.
I had shingles a year ago, which was crazy.
Yeah, I've had.
But that shows up.
You would know.
Yeah, it shows up, and you would know because. But it is. But it is interesting because it took me a second to understand what was happening because I felt. And it was more on my chest. I felt like a nerve itch, but it was a painful nerve itch. I was like, "That's weird." And I was coming off of a colonoscopy.
But did it start with a strange sort of tingly sensation on your back?
It wasn't my back, but there is something to that.
I don't want shingles.
No, but it is a nerve. It attacks your nervous system. That's what it does, and it creates phantom pain.
If I have shingles, everyone in this audience just got it. You know, that's how you get it. You listen to the guy on the radio with the shingles.
Yeah, right.
But
shingles
listener.
Will also show, it'll show with like, it'll have a little...
Like a patch?
A patch rash on your side.
Patch?
Yes, I did. That's I went to the dermatologist and they said, no, you have shingles. But here's my question. Have you tried a topical solution of any type?
Mm-hmm.
Have you taken a Benadryl?
Oh, I've got Benadryl in the office.
It'll knock me out.
Don't take it on the air.
But you should try an allergy.
Completely knock me out. When I was dating Maureen, she had cats, and I was allergic to cats, but I wanted to hang out with her because, you know, I was after her. And she had cats, and I'd be sick from the cats, and I'd take the Benadryl, and then I'd nearly run off the road because it would put me to sleep in about 30 seconds.
But it's
so
possible.
Benadryl's a bad idea, unless you want me to go to sleep before 10.
But as your doctor, mm-hmm. I'm telling you, you just told us you do have allergies, and you mm-hmm. had allergies to a cat, so it could be possible that there's been an uptick.
Hey, wait a minute.
In allergies. And
you just brought those cats in here a week and a half ago.
That's what Mary said yesterday.
It was on Friday, and you said the itch started. Don't blame the kitties. There's a really cute picture on the Steve Cochran Show Facebook page of Steve with the cats, if you want to check that out.
I think
somebody here says it could be arthritis of the spine.
Yeah, I was going to say it could be.
Why are we going to jump there?
The arthritis of the spine would cause phantom nerve. It's either that or Ebola.
Itching.
It's one of the two.
You think it's Ebola?
It's one of the two.
It might be Ebola.
Flesh eating.
You think it's the 2-week Ebola that's going around?
It could be 2-week. Could be short term.
Here's somebody that says they're a doctor, and it said it could be galsma. What is galsma?
Yeah, here we go.
G-A-L-L-Z-M-A.
It's like asthma with gas.
No, it's not. I think you're making that up. What is galsma?
That's awesome.
Here, Steve, Pete will have to come in here and get a picture of the itchy area, and we'll post it. And then
I don't think we're doing nudes. Raymond, hello.
Yeah, hi. I actually had the same issue as you.
What is it?
Or same issue that you're describing. I drive a Silverado, and I my elbow onto my armrest.
Yeah.
There's actually a nerve that runs from your elbow all the way up your neck, your shoulder and your neck.
Yep. That's
so if you're leaning on that when you're driving, it can cause it to inflame, and then it itches on your shoulder. It doesn't hurt your elbow, but it hurts your shoulder.
Did you have like the whole upper area of your back or just the right side?
The whole, like, upper, it started with the whole right side and then moved to, like, the whole upper area of my back.
So what do you do to fix it?
What I was told is just don't lean on the armrest, for one. And then, two, when you start itching, if you can tell if you have it by if you, like, rub your elbow. If it goes away, then you know that's what it's from.
If you rub your elbow.
Does that help the itching? It's sending
a signal up that nerve. From your elbow all the way up to your neck.
I think it might be working.
That could be.
And then click your heels three times and turn around.
Raymond's.
What color is your Silverado, Raymond?
I have a white Silverado.
Oh, so does Steve.
Although I did enter the contest to get the new blue one, so, you know, we'll see.
Oh, we're giving away that.
Dude, you may have something here.
Either that or get rid of your car, Steve.
Hey, give Raymond everything on the price list. Thanks, man. I appreciate the call.
Yeah.
Raymond, you want to go to the opener?
I was going
to
say. There you go.
Sure.
All right. You got tickets for the Blackhawks Sunday night for the opener for being my doctor.
Awesome. Thank you.
All right.
Does anyone
have
that
in.
Sheet with all the details about how those awesome those tickets are?
Oh, I'd like to get to it, but my back is itching. A pair of tickets for a catered suite for the Blackhawks home opener. Raymond's going to be there, and Raymond's going to do full hernia checks on anyone that wants him there in the suite. It'll be a special pregame ceremony honoring Stan Mikita before the Hawks play the Maple Leafs. Tickets for all games this season for the Blackhawks. Get them while you can, ChicagoBlackhawks.com. So what do you say? Rub my elbow.
And now you've got to change your behavior in the car and not lean on the elbow rest.
Yeah, I do that guy thing. I do lean.
Yeah. So try leaning the other way toward the door.
Well, that's where the door is. I might fall out.
I mean, it could be very simple. Couldn't it just be dry skin? Couldn't it just be dryness?
No. Checked it out.
Right. But now
the tip of my nose is itching.
Now he's rubbing his elbow. Yeah.
Rub my elbow, the tip of my nose is itching.
Rub your head.
You look like you're doing that game that you do with kids. Yeah, the like
head and shoulders, knees and toes.
And your stomach at the same time.
I think Raymond nailed it.
Yeah.
Unless he didn't, and it's worse. But
well, it could be. Yeah. Let's say it's either a slight nerve inflammation caused by sitting the wrong way, or it's Ebola. It's one of those two.
It's one of those two.
Or did you have it before we moved into these studios?
Oh. Yeah, that's got to be thrown into the possibility.
Environmental.
I'm allergic to the new studios.
Mm-hmm. Or to the altitude.
That's true. We're on the 18th floor. I could have altitude sickness.
We need to get some type of installation into your Silverado so you won't use the elbow pad.
Well, Tahoe.
Oh, Tahoe. I'm sorry. Mine is the Silverado.
Yes, it's Tahoe.
That Centennial Blue.
Like a full Nerf pad of some kind lean into?
You need No, I'm thinking.
Oh, you know what I can lean into? A 16-inch softball.
Yeah.
You put a 16-inch softball
right at the shoulder blades.
You need something uncomfortable, like a Velcro, so you won't lean your arm on it.
Yeah, I think before any of that happens, we need to bring the entire allergy kit in and just stick your arm with like 50 different things and see if
you that whole process should have been updated by now, right? That and hospital gowns. Right. There ought to be a better way to figure out what you're allergic to, and you ought to be able to turn the gown around.
We could stick you like at 6 o'clock and see by 9 o'clock what has flared up.
I'm going to go get a Benadryl, and I'm going to pop it into a piece of candy, and I'm going to give it to Steve to trick him.
Like I'd eat candy. But I think this elbow thing might be working.
Really?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I think Raymond may have cured me. It's a miracle!
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore.
The most valuable person on the planet in just a second, and yes, it involves pizza.
The world seems to shine.
First, Donna, what am I buying at Walgreens, Donna?
You got an itch that you haven't had diagnosed yet, but it's making you nuts. You can go to Walgreens and pick up a topical, something like a triple antibiotic ointment with lidocaine, or even a Benadryl ointment. If Benadryl capsules make you crazy and knock you out, you can take it and apply it topically. But when you see your doctor, you have to let him know that you're doing that, because he's going to look at the rash, and it might affect what the rash looks like.
Hmm. Yeah, but there's no visible rash.
Here's the thing. You're doing the lean right now. You're leaning on that elbow.
Yeah, aren't I? There's no visible rash. Does that matter? Should I still use it?
If there's no visible rash, but there's pain, you can put the Benadryl on and see if it works.
All right. Well, listen, I appreciate that, Donna, very much. Thank you.
I love how Donna started that almost like a commercial. Are you having pain?
I know.
Maybe you should try.
I do have those little pink Benadryls in the office. Maybe we could drag one of them across the back and see if it just from it
just
touching
roll it
you.
Up. That way I won't go to sleep.
Yeah.
I think you need to adjust the way that you're scratching this itch.
In what way? Because right now I'm like a bear in the woods.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask.
Just lean against like door frames and stuff.
Like Baloo in the Jungle Book.
So actually, if I'm rubbing against a tree, I'm probably making it worse because I'm getting sap on it.
Yeah. Potentially, yeah.
Fire ants.
We got an amazing story in today's most valuable person on the planet. It's an anonymous pizza delivery driver. You think about what pizza delivery guys must see and women must see. You're going up to strangers' houses at all hours. You don't know who's opening the door. Forget about whether or not you're tipping appropriately. Think about the stuff they must see. But a thunderous round of applause for a driver in Waldo, Wisconsin. Only about 500 people in Sheboygan County in this particular town. And while completing a pizza delivery, this is just last Thursday? Is that right? Just last week?
Yes.
The driver noticed a woman standing behind the guy that ordered the pizza. She had a black eye, and she was mouthing the words, "Help me. Call the police." The unnamed driver did just that, and Sheboygan County Sheriff got there. It turned out to be a kidnapping situation.
Oof.
Sheboygan Press reports the guy had previously dated the woman. They had broken up. He wasn't taking it well. He broke into her place, assaulted her, tied her up with an appliance cord, held her for hours.
Oh, my gosh.
And then ordered a pizza because he was hungry. So she was able to mouth, "Help me, call the police." He was smart enough to see what he was getting involved in there, called the police, saved the woman. And now the bad guy's in jail. And if this sounds familiar to you, this reminds you of what?
That Super Bowl commercial from 2015 where the woman calls 911 and she keeps saying to order a pizza, but it's a domestic abuse situation. And the caller says, "You're calling, 911. And she said, "Large with pepperoni, and...
And the 911 caller finally gets it that she needs. Yeah, exactly. So congratulations.
Good, this guy. Pretty impressive.
And he's anonymous. Didn't want any credit for it.
Yeah, good for him.
Amazing.
This also, this story came on the heels of me texting all of you guys the new Lou Malnati special edition pizza with the sausage, Italian beef, and giardiniera that we're going to have to get our hands on, because that's a dream pizza for me.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Are you going to break your rule of no food?
I will break my rule of no food if we get our hands on this Lou Malnati's pizza.
Dave, what did you say when you saw a picture of that pizza?
Oh, Mr. No Fun over here.
Yeah, what did you say? I forgot.
You guys can
Is there a veggie version?
Yeah, no, that was wasn't that was Mary.
Pete. Oh, that was Mary.
Or it was a Pete.
No, it wasn't me. I said, Mary said too much meat. Yeah, too much meat for me.
You know, here's the thing. You live in America. There's no such thing as too much meat.
No, I know. And it's just you can eat a bite of pizza. You might have a bad dream, Mary.
I'll have a bite.
I'm happy to eat some pizza. That
just give me some veggie pizza, too.
I'm telling you right now, the only hope I have for my ailment, pizza.
In all the pizza that, all the years that I've worked here with Dave, I saw him eat a bite of pizza once. Yeah. One time. Just a bite.
It's got to stop.
The interesting thing from that text conversation that I thought was Joe Romano found somehow an emoji that was drooling. I didn't know.
I know. He sends that to me when I talk about salt and vinegar chips. I've never saw that.
I'm just glad to see that Joe's working on the important stuff in his off hours, drooling emojis.
Yep, that's what he did.
That's solid.
Oh, I thought it was a yak emoji, like, ugh.
No way.
That's what I thought it was.
Paul Vallis waiting in the PPG Paints green room. He wants to be the next mayor. And it'll be good to see Mr. Vallis again. He'll be on with us after Steve Grzanich's headlines, and that's next.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
7:43, the Chicago mayor's race. Not surprisingly, but faster than we probably thought, has become the talk of the country politically when you actually talk about politics as opposed to the stuff we spend our time talking about. Paul Vallis is here. Mr. Vallis would like to be the next mayor of Chicago, and nice to see you again. How have you been?
Good, good.
Welcome
campaign
back.
Colds, it's the nature of campaigning.
You know, you don't sound like you have a cold. I think you're okay. Yeah. And by the way, the listeners are lining up to help me medically this morning so they can help you as well.
Great.
Where were you when you found out Mayor Emanuel was out?
I was actually in Roseland. I was doing an event in Roseland. That's where I was born and raised when I heard about it.
And were you surprised?
I wasn't. I had heard rumors that he was not going to run from people who know him, obviously know the campaign. I was surprised he announced when he did. I thought that he would wait until November or until after the election, the general election.
Of the people that are currently in, it's you and Tony Preckwinkle. And Bill Daley are getting the most chatter, especially now that Chuy Garcia has decided not to run. Does that surprise you?
No, it doesn't. I imagine that there may be one or two entries before it's over. But you know, at the end of the day, I think we're doing pretty well. And all the polls I've seen, we're generally second, and we're in a runoff. And what the polls clearly say is that there's going to be a runoff. So I feel optimistic about our pathway to victory, and I feel that we're at least going to be in the runoff.
One name that was thrown out just recently was your former partner, Gary Chico. Mm-hmm. He's decided to run for mayor. A lot of your platform has been about your time at the schools here in Chicago, and people know you and name recognition. He was front and center as well. Are you fear a split that people recognize you and Gary?
No, not necessarily. You know, for anyone who decided to run after Emanuel got out, I say that, you know, if you didn't have the guts to run against him, what makes us think they're going to have the guts, the courage to make the tough decisions once they get in? Plus, you know, Gary decided that he wanted to be on board to not be the day-to-day CEO because, you know, he wanted to generate income. You know, he wanted to make money. So, you know, I'm not worried about splitting the vote or whatever. I mean,
you get along with Chico?
I get along with everybody. I like to think that I get along with everybody. Well, obviously, you know.
Yeah, so do I.
Mayoral races have a way of, creating camps and, friends become enemies. But at the end of the day, you know, I'm going to do what I've been doing from the beginning. I'm going to be very specific on the issues. And if you remember when I announced, I had like a 48-minute Q&A. When my Q&As end, it's usually I ask a question or I ask, are there any more questions? And nobody says anything.
Right.
And they hope that I don't answer any more questions.
Right.
But at the end of the day, I'm going to continue to speak very specific. You know, I'm going to try to be very specific on the issues.
Let's go through the top folks here for just a quick second. Why you as opposed to Bill Daley?
Well, you know, I like to think that I've managed multi-billion-dollar, government-owned entities with great success, not only here but in Philadelphia. I didn't leave the city and become kind of a hired gun, a paid consultant, get appointed to a lot of boards, make a lot of money. I went to Philadelphia when the state took over, when those schools were on the verge of bankruptcy, and then I was asked to go to New Orleans after Katrina to rebuild the schools there, which we did successfully. You'll be hard-pressed to find a failing school in New Orleans or a child who's not in either been new or completely renovated school. And then I did international work in Haiti and in Chile. And believe me, you don't go to Haiti to make money. So at the end of the day, my approach, you know, I'm a public servant who has managed multi-billion dollar organizations right. in multiple states with great success. And I think those are the type of skills. You know, the city needs a problem solver, not a politician.
So same answer for Tony Preckwinkle, as in why you're not Tony Preckwinkle?
Well, I like Tony. I've always had a good relationship with her. You know, I think she's well-intended. Unlike many of these other candidates, she didn't go out there and try to make a fortune and then decide to learn.
Wait, but you're not running her campaign, so why are you better?
Why am I better? I think I have more experience. I've certainly done this like four or five times now. So, you know, I've managed, I think, 14, 15 multi-billion dollar budgets with great success. So I certainly, I believe, have the skills to do that. I also think that my financial plan for the city is going to be a plan that will allow the city to grow. I believe budgets need to be investment documents. And if anything, the budgets that we've been passing from year to year have been budgets that kick the can down the road and set priorities that are more driven by politics than they are driven by need. Mm-hmm. And I believe that my record for transforming governmental institutions by investing and by growing those entities, mm-hmm. I think that record is a superior record.
Mr. Vallis, the budget situation in the city of Chicago this year is tenable, if you say it.
Right.
But we all know that coming up in 2020 is another fiscal cliff. The next mayor, they'll be on the hook for
right.
that. Let's talk about schools. CPS, of course, one of those budgets that are either way out of whack or somewhat out of whack, it seems like to be every year. The mayor was able to sell a closing of 50 schools, the largest in city history. Do you see a way that the Chicago Public Schools can move forward without closing more schools?
Well, you know, let me point out that over the last 30 years, the school district has only grown in numbers for 6 years. Those are the 6 years that I happen to be CEO. We went from 514,000 students, a high in 79, to 404,000 when I came in. We were left, we were at 438,000. Now they're at 372,000. So clearly their policies and their strategies have resulted in more students, fewer students going to the district. And it's just not demographics, believe me.
No, but they would say, not to speak for the mayor, but they would say that's why they had to close the schools. There's not enough students anymore.
Well, you know, on the one hand, when you're opening new schools, like they opened well over 100 charter schools, and then suddenly you have to close schools. When I left, we had 437,000, 438,000 students in 558 schools. Today, they have 660 schools and like 370,000 students. So the point is, you know, they haven't engaged in the type of programs and policies designed to retain students and to attract new students. So if you're shrinking, you're going to have these problems. You see what I mean? So I think they've been misguided in the approach they've taken. And the combination of lack of stability, lack of budget security, lack of continuity in the way they budget and the way they staff, four superintendents in 7 years, combined with the absence of policies that are designed to make all neighborhood schools attractive, I think that's resulted in the dramatic decline in enrollment. And incidentally, City College is experiencing the same thing. They've lost a third of their student population, a third. So clearly they're not engaging in policies that are going to attract more students. And your funding is dependent on additional students. You know, you get your state
right.
funding.
Well, yeah, you don't get one without the other.
Exactly.
I want to come back and talk about a couple
sure.
other things into the break. But before we leave this, are there enough schools to serve the students of the city of Chicago, or are there not enough resources for the schools that we have?
Well, you know, I think with the state picking up what's called normal cost, which is the cost of the pensions going forward, because there's always been inequity in pension treatment, they've kind of stopped the bleeding. And I think the budget can be, I think now is time to come up with a 5-year financial plan for the district that stabilizes the district and that brings predictability and continuity to what schools will have the resources.
Do you have the 5-year plan?
Yeah.
You have it on you right now?
Yeah.
Can I have a copy?
I can tell you the things that I would focus on.
Give me a top three. Top three things to fix the school.
Well, a top three is having a 5-year financial plan.
Okay.
In other
number
words,
two?
Projecting your revenues and constructing
being financially responsible.
Yeah. You know, the second thing is you've got to find find a way to, in effect, put programs in neighborhood schools that would make those neighborhood schools attractive. Like my approach was to put international baccalaureate programs, world language academy programs, military academy programs. So there's a reason to stay in schools. Third thing is, you know, is to invest in career and technical education. And let me give you an example. You know, if you looked at the schools and you looked at the electives that are being offered and you began to, like, phase out irrelevant electives and you replaced them with paid work study like Crystal Ray or, for that matter, career and technical educational programs, you could, in fact, turn all the high schools in. You could add to all the high schools career and technical education, work study programs, dual enrollment, early college
curriculum
programs.
All need to be audited. I mean, there's no question they should go through and be realistic about the jobs that will be available
so
as opposed to the jobs we're teaching kids for.
That's what goes.
So there are things that will make all those schools, all those neighborhood schools attractive.
You appear to have some experience in education. More with Paul Vallis in a second, including solving all the problems of the city of Chicago. What's the website for the run?
Oh, it's
help. The website for the run.
Paul Vallis. We have two websites, and I always screwed them up.
I know.
It's Paul Vallis at for all. It's VallisForAllChicago.com.
Vallis
ForAllChicago.com.
Grace is in the back.
Grace
her head
was
just
about
exploded.
To hit me in the back of the head.
Yes, VallisForAllChicago.com.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
Paul Vallis is here, wants to be your mayor, and if he can remember the website, he's going to be ahead of just about everybody. All right, so listen, I always feel like this is a question that has to be asked, and it's an unfair question because it cannot be answered by you or any other candidate. How do you fix crime in the city?
Well, first of all, you've got to get at the root causes of crime, and that is you've got to invest. You know, 80% of the city is not growing, and there are areas of the city that are in depression states. So at the end of the day, you've got to create economic opportunity. So I say that because then when I talk about, you know, more police and expanding public safety resources, people always come back and say, yeah, but you got to get at the root causes. So, look, I mean, what I put out this week was how to redevelop those areas. So, but there is no substitute for getting criminals off the street. And at the end of the day, when you allow your police department to be decimated, where you haven't filled out, where you haven't filled 2,000 vacancies, you allow the detectives division to shrink from 1,200 to less than 700. They are now building back, but all these detectives are inexperienced. When you decimate your supervisory ranks, like your sergeants and your training officers, what do you expect the results to be? So what I've done, and I talked about this on this show, at an earlier show, a couple months ago, as I've talked about rebuilding the police department in terms of increasing its strength to 4,200, having police officers in the schools, in other words, converting many of the these public safety positions, school security positions to CPD positions, because you would not only increase in, security in the schools, but what you would have when schools are not in is 600 to 700 officers that could be dispatched then to the communities.
In summer,
So you're not pulling police officers from neighborhoods, taking them away from their beats, and putting them on Lakeshore Drive or in Michigan Avenue to deal with those, you know, summer, those big events like the 4th of July weekend, Veterans Day, Memorial Day.
So staffing, more cops.
Yeah, well, and
in the right places.
Yeah, in the right places. You also have to understand that they're spending about $175 million in overtime. When I was budget director and we have almost 14,000 police officers on the street, we spent $38 million in overtime.
The overtime in this city and in the state and the county is so ridiculous and out of control.
It's like $300 million.
Yeah, and what's our friend from OpenTheBooks.org?
Angievsky? Angievsky, yeah.
Yeah, Mr. Angievsky has shown this again and again and again. Overtime, you get overtime straightened out in the city of Chicago, the amount of money you're saving is going to be crazy. Justin. Yeah.
This week, we're seeing, today, we're going to see police officer Jason Van Dyke on the stand in a trial that is obviously has...
Is that definitely happening?
That's what they keep saying, Steve keeps saying. So, Mr. Vallis, there's going to be a verdict in this case coming up possibly in the next week or two. The city, of course, has gone through this after seeing that video, and there has been a division when it comes to police and community. What, as someone is going to have to step up and take leadership for the city, especially after this verdict, how do you respond? What are your plans to be able to fix a rift or be able to deal with something like a huge trial like this?
Yeah. Well, you know, first of all, you know, let me get at the larger issue. The way to heal the community is to provide hope in the community. And that's one of the reasons that I've kind of laid out my Marshall Plan to invest in those communities that have been long neglected. Because there are many communities in Roseland and Englewood, people have lost hope. And when there's a lack of hope, people become frustrated. The second thing I believe that what you have to do is to police. There's no substitute for beat integrity. There isn't. People need to know their police officers. People need to know who they are. The police need to know the communities that they're serving. And when your police strategy is the Violence Reduction Initiative, where you're moving officers all over the city from one spot to another, and when they don't have the proper supervision, like you allow your sergeant, ratio of sergeants to officers to go from 1 to 10 to 1 to 30, I mean, you don't have the right. It undermines effectiveness and it undermines accountability. So what you've got to do is you've got to reestablish the principles of community policing, which is to secure the beat officers. So the final thing I want to mention is, and I've laid this out in my public safety plan, which I announced, and that's online. It's in all its glory, or lack thereof. I talked about recruiting the next generation of police officers from the communities. I opened a series of military high schools, military academies, and we had today. Chicago Public Schools, or last year, Chicago Public Schools had almost 10,000 students in military academy and ROTC programs. 90% of them are minority. Well, why can't the next generation of police, firefighters, EMT, pilotless drone operators, etc., nurses, first responders come from those type of programs? You know, that would have a transformational effect because you would have police officers who are familiar
with communities. The only thing I'd ask, just emotionally,
yeah,
when you're dealing with something that has so much emotion to the city, both on the police officer side and the community side, as a leader, do you have what it takes to emotionally deal with the city of Chicago in a rift like
that? And you have 30 seconds to answer that very difficult question.
You know, I believe I do, but you're also looking at somebody who created a crisis fund, and any time a child was killed in the community, would not only organize a march, but would also raise the money to bury the child. I mean, we raised funds to bury over 100 kids during that period. And what we would do is we would immerse our youth outreach officers and through our clergy network, we would immerse the community with clergy and social workers and our youth outreach officers to, in effect, try to bring some calm to the community. So I think the city has to do that, obviously, on a citywide basis. But our approach was always to be completely transparent and then to be completely honest with people, and then to be aggressive about working with the people in the community who were impacted, and to empower them to play a leadership role in building and bringing calm in a state of
it's not just putting out the fire, it's keeping the fire from starting, right?
That's
it's
right.
Short-term, mid-term, and long-term answers to all of this. Listen, you're going to be back because we need to hear more from you, and we only scratched the surface here. First off, take care of the cold.
Thank you.
Second, try to memorize your website. And third, nothing but good luck.
Thank you very much.
Nice to see you. Valis for Chicago.
Valis for all Chicago.
Oh, I almost forgot. I'm not even in the campaign. Right, I almost nailed it. ValisForAllChicago.org.
.com.
ValisForAllChicago.com. If you'd like to help, you'd like to find out more, like to see where you stand on things, thank you.
Well, thank you very much. And please take a look at the plan I put out for investing in those long-neglected communities, because at the end of the day, being able to bring hope and economic opportunities to those communities are going to go a long way towards addressing many of our ills.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, honey, you know I love you more than one night should. Yeah.
Live to Channel 9. It's more on entertainment. Good morning, Dean. Hi, Steve. How are you? Good, Dean.
Hi, Steve. Good morning. How are you? Fine. Good.
Were you being distracted there at Dean Central?
I forgot to turn the microphone on.
That'll happen.
You know why? I'm so excited because today is Sting's birthday. And as you know, I throw a big happy birthday Sting party every year.
You do, and in honor of Sting's birthday every year, I have tantric sex for hours.
Mm.
You know, so it's a similar thing. Is that what it's called? Tantric or tantric? Remember that whole thing?
Oh, yeah, I remember. I think it's tantric.
Tantric, yeah. We got Justin Bieber.
I'm just shocked that you would even say that.
You're shocked that I could pull it off at my age. Justin.
I have a cake made that looks like a deodorant stick.
Yeah, he needs one.
Yeah, he doesn't do the deodorant.
Are we talking about Sting?
Yeah.
Stink, as I like to call him.
I got a great Sting story that I wish I could tell on the air, but I can't.
Stinky Sting.
How I mean, it's a great Sting story. I can't tell it. I mean, it's just, but I'm telling you, if you were me,
why?
You'd be excited to be able
is
to tell it.
Because it's off the record or because it's too rated
bar?
Can you just say bleep?
No.
In the spots?
No. But it's a great Sting story.
Have we heard it before?
No. Is it's backstage at a concert.
Is there strange yodeling in it?
He plays an odd African instrument all the way through the story.
Last time I saw him, he's very nice, and we had a lovely interview, and then we took a picture, and he put his arm around my shoulder.
Ew.
Like we're pals, and pretty much my face was right in his armpit.
What, does he smell?
Yes.
I've only met him a couple times, and I thought he smelled like a field of flowers.
You didn't sniff enough, hard enough.
Field of dreams.
He's like Matthew McConaughey. Neither one of them do the deodorant, I hear.
I have never field smelled Matthew McConaughey.
Well, but a couple of years ago, you announced this as your new policy. You would sniff all celebrities.
I try to sniff as many celebrities as I possibly can, but Sometimes it's awkward.
Who smells best?
Nicole Kidman smelled very nice.
Okay, how about on the male side? Do you find the current celebrities to be cologne heavy?
No. Mm. Nope.
More natural in their scent?
It's very au naturel, but not as au naturel as Stink. Sting, I mean.
How old is he today?
Sting is 67.
Oh. Wow.
How about that? 67. Yikes.
Nice cake with 67 little right guards on the cake.
Right card.
I tell you, he couldn't have pulled off what he pulled off in the story. I can't tell you at 67.
Wow.
Yeah.
This would be a good story.
Justin Bieber coming up.
Does it involve farm animals?
It does not. It involves a shower. I can't talk about it. Don't keep asking about it. I can't talk about it. Kanye West. West Side Story, John Legend. Oh, and there's a honey of a deal from Dean Celebrity Real Estate.
I have two real estate listings for you today.
Oh, I'm excited.
One is presidential.
Oh, boy. That's all when we come back.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Many years have passed since old summer days. Among the fields of poppy.
Smells good.
As the sun. This is from the album Sting Didn't Rock.
Sting's smooth, Steve.
That is smooth. Great. Did you ever play Sting on Anyway?
I did.
Yep. Got to give the guy credit. Rock stations to jazz stations to everything.
Played like 15 Kenny G songs, and then we throw Sting in.
Right. Yeah, was that the format? 15 Kenny G in a row, and then someone else?
And then somebody else. Right.
Did Justin Bieber really get married?
Well, that's what TMZ says.
They ever been wrong?
Never.
Okay.
Never, never. Actually, they are pretty remarkably accurate.
Yeah.
And they say that when Justin Bieber...
Somebody's alarm going off? What is that noise?
Yes. Is that on your end or my end?
I think it was on your end.
Oh.
Some wacky prop on Annabella Val's desk going off.
Is that someone's alarm?
No, it's the Bieber alarm.
Oh.
Ding, yeah, ding, ding.
Talk about Bieber, an alarm goes off.
Somebody across the newsroom.
Okay.
We like to keep the realistic atmosphere going here.
Sure.
We're a busy working newsroom here. Alarms
totally
are going,
understand.
Alarms are going off. We're covering news here, Steve. We're not goofing around.
Yeah, teletypes.
The TMZ says that when Justin Bieber and Hailey Baldwin went to get their marriage license, that they actually legally got married that day, but have been lying about it ever since. When they've been asked about it, they've been saying no. So apparently it's true. Apparently that didn't give them time to put a prenup together. So they're married without a prenup, apparently.
Well, she doesn't have a ton of money. He has a lot of money.
$245 million, his net worth.
Yeah, and his friends were going bananas that he didn't get a prenup.
Right, right. Well, she's got a couple of million. It's not like she doesn't have anything, but not in the $240 million category.
By the way, how'd she get $2 million?
She's a model.
I didn't know that. She's a working model?
And a Baldwin.
Yeah, do you know that...
Yeah, but isn't Steven her dad?
Yeah, but she does. She's a host of a not America's Got Talent, but one of those shows. I think overseas. She's a personality.
This is how Dean gets all that celebrity real estate. People in L.A. making money on stuff you wouldn't even begin to understand. Hey, why is Kanye going to Africa? And has Africa been warned?
He hasn't it been difficult enough
all right.
on that continent?
Doesn't that continent have enough issues?
Kanye says that he cannot possibly finish his new album here. It was supposed to drop this past weekend, and it did not. And the reason that was given, because he went over to TMZ yesterday and did some interviews, because he keeps such a low profile. People have hardly heard a word from him.
You barely know where he is.
Yeah. So he went over to TMZ and talked about lots of things, among them that he's going to Africa to finish his next album because he has to draw inspiration and energy from the earth there.
Do you have any sense of whether this whole thing with him is a put-on or if he's really crazy?
I don't think it's a put-on. I don't know if he's crazy, but I think...
Well, he's absolutely crazy.
I think that he believes all of everything that he says.
I don't think it's crazy that he wants to do it. I think saying it is kind of weird, but a lot of musicians... I mean, you saw Paul Simon won the hearts and minds of everybody with Graceland and everything.
Yeah.
That was inspired by African music, so...
The Beatles.
The
Paul
Beatles?
Simon.
Yeah, of course.
That was a different time.
He's drawing energy and inspiration from the earth, though.
Now we have Twitter.
The actual Earth. Album scheduled to be out November 23rd, Steve, and it'll be called Yandi.
Yandi by Ye?
Yeah, yes.
Yeah.
Yandi like Gandhi.
Yeah.
Yandi like Gandhi by Ye.
Ye.
By the way, I cannot finish a show today, not for medical reasons, but for the fact that I can only finish a show if I get to Cicero Avenue. So that's where I'm going to take my inspiration.
Oh, is that from the earth?
Right, from the earth.
From the earth of Roosevelt.
I won't tell you where on Cicero Avenue, but I will be somewhere on Cicero Avenue. Okay. West Side Story is getting redone?
By Steven Spielberg is going to remake it. And we know so far that Ansel Elgort is going to be playing Tony. Do you know who that is? He was in Baby Driver.
Yeah.
He was the driver in Baby Driver. He was in Divergent, Fault of Our Stars.
Real gangster.
Really, really, really good actor.
He's a good actor.
But we don't know who's going to be Maria yet. I'm thinking I like an Ariana Grande in that role.
That would be good.
Oh, that would be amazing.
That would be good.
Great as Maria.
Singing and dancing? Sure.
I was going to suggest Nina Dobrev. I think she's
Nina
a good...
Nina Dobrev?
I don't know if she sings or not. Can I tell you guys a West Side Story thing?
Sure.
That's my parents' favorite musical, to the point where there would be a few nights in my childhood where drinks would have been consumed.
Ooh.
And West Side Story would play, and there'd be my parents would sing along to it in a kind of almost acting way.
They didn't have like a Sharks and Jets rumble?
No, no Sharks. Maria got done a lot. My dad would often do the role of Maria.
I want to be in America.
My parents don't sing at things, but only when inebriated.
Sounds like a fun group. Now, is Dave the same age as your parents?
Dave is the exact same age as my parents. Did you ever reenact West Side Story, Dave?
No, but I remember in third grade when we had to our vocal solos in music class, we sang...
Well, at that age, you were probably doing Shakespeare, right? Because he was still around and he could check it out and prove it.
Did you sing Tonight?
Tonight. Somewhere. Exactly, Dean.
Tonight.
Won't be just
any night.
Tonight.
It's kind of amazing. It's kind of amazing.
Hang on. Dave's got this.
No, I was interrupted. I got to stop now.
No, it's kind of amazing the ratings went up considering what I'm hearing in my headphones.
Go ahead, Dave. Now, that's why we know. That's why he was able to sing I'm in Love with the Shape of You so well.
Yeah, there's no question. Yeah, what you said. I'm just hoping my spinal stenosis kicks in quicker. All right, celebrity real estate. You got a honey of a listing?
Oh, I've got two honeys of listings today. One is the home that was once owned by Ronald Reagan and Jane Wyman. He was not president yet. He was just a young actor. In fact, he was only 27 years old when he bought this.
I may be interested in this one.
This is a classic five-bedroom, six-bath house. Large rooms, high ceilings, hardwood floors, handcrafted millwork, and jelly beans all over it for some reason.
Hmm. Yeah, it's strange. We didn't see that coming.
This one, Steve, right now is listed at $6.4 million.
I got $91 in my wallet right now, and I'm ready to make you a cash offer.
Yeah, I'm going to say no.
$91?
Yeah. All right, I'll submit. Legally, I have to submit it as a licensed realtor. I have to submit it.
All right, what's the other one?
The other house is a home that was once owned by the head of Warner Brothers Pictures, Hal B. Davis. Mm-hmm. But the cool part of this house is that James Dean lived in a bedroom of this house for a year when he was making East of Eden and Rebel Without a Cause.
How much you want for this
giant
one?
Giant. This one is, this is a very historic Hollywood mansion.
Yeah.
$3.9 million for this one.
No, I'll give you $91 for the Reagan
for
house.
For the both of them?
No, for the Reagan house.
Oh, just you don't even
just
want
Reagan
this
house.
One?
I don't even want the James Dean house. Oh. No, just the Reagan house.
You are quite a rebel without a cause, Steve.
You'll let me know if they accept my offer?
I'll call you immediately if that happens.
And if I don't hear the phone ring, I'll know they didn't?
I'll call you when you're on Cicero Avenue. In the town of Cicero or Cicero Avenue?
I can't reveal my exact location. I'm trying to get inspiration.
Okay.
All right, thank you, Dean.
See you.
And Coach Q coming up, 720 WGN. Always playing a who for Coach Q, and happy to announce Coach Q will join us weekly all season long again. This is our 57th year of having Coach Q on the show, and it's always great. Saw Coach Q the other day at the Blackhawks golf outing. Looks great. Tan, fit, ready for another Blackhawks season. Exciting Blackhawks season.
It's awesome. 2 days, man.
All starts this week, but Sunday's the home opener with a salute to Stan McKinnon. As a matter of fact, let's do this. I got tickets. I have tickets for the opener.
Yes.
A pair of tickets to a catered suite for the Blackhawks home opener this Sunday. Special pregame ceremony honoring the great Stan Mikita before the Hawks play the Maple Leafs. Tickets for all games this season are on sale at ChicagoBlackhawks.com. And Rokan and I will be out there with Dave Ennett and a bunch of other folks for a pregame. Pregame starting at 3 at the United Center.
Pre.
What was Coach Q's number? Well, let me ask him. I'm going numbers this morning. Coach, what was your number with the Whalers?
Well, 3.
3.
Yeah.
All right, third caller, 312-981-7200.
I was kind of hoping it was 81 or something, so Joe had a count to 81. Yeah.
So was he, 312-981-7200. Coach, Coach Q's here. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Nice to talk to you again. I've talked to you off the air about this. I haven't had a chance to talk to you on the air. Anything you want to say about Stan Mikita that made him such a great player?
Stan, he was competitor to the highest degree, smart, cagey, consistent. You know, what a player!
Speed, stick handling, puck presence, knew where to go. All those skills.
Definitely good with the puck. Could make plays. Had patience with it. Didn't not a big guy, but he'd go anywhere he had to go to find a way to be productive. So he was good in a lot of ways.
Well, he is missed by all of us, and will always be a Blackhawk. Obviously, it's going to be quite a tribute to him on Sunday night for the opener. You get excited about another opening season?
Always, the first game's always one of those special games where you get nervous to like the first playoff game. And you always want to get off to a great start, and you got 31 teams. Everybody thinks they are a playoff team to begin with, and you want to make sure you put yourself in that position right from the start. And I think it seems like we always get off to a reasonable start. Last year we did as well. Obviously we know how it ended, but that should provide some incentive getting off to a good beginning. And we got Ottawa with they probably got that underdog mentality, which is something that's probably around us that we haven't experienced before as well.
Joel, you had Corey Crawford back at practice yesterday. Give us the update. How close is he to being there in a game for you?
Good question. I know that we got him in yesterday's practice. I thought he handled it extremely well. We'll be practicing him with us all week here. We play 3 and 4 nights. It'll be interesting to see how he handles this week. And then next week we'll get a better assessment and a closer assessment to see how close he is. But I would say then we got 2 games the following week. And then you got an Arizona, Columbus, Tampa Bay weekend that hopefully he can be ready for those in that area. And if he's ready any earlier than that, that'd be great.
Yeah, all bonus. Coach Q Show, by the way, sponsored by Hooters. We know how this ended 2 years ago. We know how it ended last year. And we didn't like it any more than you did. So is there any special message for the boys going into this season? Or is it just they're professionals, they get it, they've come to play, and if they're going to play for me, they better be ready?
Well, I think that as a pro, I mean, we're all competitive. The business is competitive. I think jobs are always on the line. I think that in our business here, jobs are on the line. But when you're here, you're you know, I think ice time. Everybody wants to play, and everybody wants to play more. And I think that's a that provides incentive internally for competing for more. And I think the more you play, the better you play as well. So that's always a driving force for keeps everybody excited, and obviously winning is a great motivator as well. And team game is something we want to make sure that that's going to be enforced or in order with and without the puck, and standard of how we compete is there as well. So it's all the little things that add up to you know, your contribution to the team success is how we prioritize things, and that's how we're looking to everybody being a part of it and feeling a part of it.
Coach, yesterday the Cubs, of course, played, and the game was broadcast on ESPN, and they kept scrolling at the bottom the news of that Corey Crawford was medically cleared to play and ready to go. But it reminded me of the national expectations of the Chicago Blackhawks, that the media on the East Coast and West Coast, they understand how important of a franchise. Do you have to remind the players of how important the Chicago Blackhawks are and how many people are watching?
Well, I think we all know that hey, we're in a special place, and it's we're fortunate to be in this market and playing in front of these fans, in front of these the crowd and the building being full, and the history that's been established as well. And I think we're coming off a year where that all got our attention, knowing that hey, this was nothing we wanted to experience, like expected to experience, and expect to experience again. And let's do something about it. I mean, internal motivation or standards or something that we pride ourselves on. We do have a fortunate that we do have the fan base. We do, not just in Chicago, but how we travel and where we go. And but it's nice to be up in that and being considered like that. But now it's this is our group here, and we want to set internal goals and goals that are realistic to achieve. And let's find a way that our goal right now is we want to be a playoff team, and how we go about it's going to be an everyday challenge, but that's our motivation. And we feel if we do meet that objective, there's a lot to be accomplished, and we know that we've got some significant guys here that know how to find a way.
When you look at that group, every year it seems like there's a surprise or two. I know Jokke Haru, there was a lot of feeling that he was going to make the team this year, but is Cahoon the big surprise coming out of camp and being part of this team, or is there somebody else? And as far as any veterans who are looking for bounce-back years who might have caught your eye this training camp, you think are poised to have a big year?
Well, you mentioned Henry on the back end. I think for a young player, I think he gives us a presence of being involved in the game from both ways. Offensively, he seems to like to go and get up in the play. He likes to have the puck at the point. I think defensively, he's going to get better every day. But he does bring some pizzazz to his game and some enthusiasm to our team as a young guy as well. I think that Crow getting close to going back here gives us some excitement as well. You can talk about Kaner, how he always finds a way to get a little bit faster, a little bit quicker, a little bit stronger. I think this year he worked on some things to make him as fast as he can possibly be. So we'll look forward to him keep getting better. And, I think the young guys, that we want to see these guys take a step forward, the Schmaltzies and the Brinkats and the younger guys, feel a part of it. You mentioned Cahoon. We'll see with him. And, but no matter who we are, we expect a better contribution. If you were here last year, if you're new to the team, welcome and feel a part of it. And we look for contributions from everyone as well.
Joel, I know the season opener is on Thursday, but the home opener is on Sunday. Have you gotten your outfit together for the red carpet?
the red carpet. You know what? I never have to walk the red carpet. So it's, you know, these guys all come in looking like they're ready to go. So that's a good sign. And, you know, we've got one game. We come back off that road trip. That's a busy three-game segment for us. 6 o'clock start from playing the night before. Toronto, everybody thinks they're the team to beat this year, too. So it'll be a great test. And we'll think about the red carpet on Sunday. But
he's got to pick
guys
his.
Do a pretty good job. Organization does a nice job of setting that up.
No question.
Why do you get to skip
it off in a positive way?
What do you mean? Why do you get
the players?
To skip?
It's a player. It's a player's deal.
But
I don't skip it. I'm here. The players. The players are. They do a nice job.
He's back. He's back in the dressing room picking out an opening night tie.
Yeah, right.
Last question, Coach. Before we let you fly, obviously Jonathan Toews and Brandon Saad need to pick it up a step this year. What have you seen from them so far?
Not bad. You know, I think Taser is looking like he's skating better than he did last year, moving well, has the puck more. Sauter, we need him to finish from what he started last year. Had a lot of opportunities, and the finished product with him has been, whether he's missed the A-plus chances that he's missed last year, finds a way to get some production out of that. His numbers should be where we expect him to be. And starting off here with Schmaltzy and Kaner should give him ample opportunity to be productive in more of a consistent way. That's what we're looking for.
You know, I say this publicly to you now so you understand that I really appreciate you being on the show. I told you off the air. I tell you off the air all the time. But you're a busy guy, and I always appreciate you taking time for us and the information you give to the fans, and I thank you for that.
My pleasure. All right.
See you Sunday.
Have a great year.
All right.
Go Cubs.
Yeah, there you go. See you Sunday.
There you go.
All right.
That's Coach Q. Nobody better. Nobody better.
He knows a lot about the pressure of an elimination game.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, and the Blackhawks have been pretty good in those games over the years.
Yeah, no question. Yeah. He's a good coach. I don't know if you know that, Dave.
Yeah, I've heard.
Yeah, that's what I hear.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Justin and Vandeveld and Sandberg and Dave and Steve and Super Joe and Pete, they'll take you till 10 o'clock and I'll see you back here tomorrow. But before I leave, I should say today, Cecilia Vega is one of the best reporters in the business. Does a great job for ABC. Weekend anchor as well. You may have seen her there. Caitlin Collins is this kid at CNN who is just crazy good. I don't even think she's 30 years old. And she's one of the go-to White House people. Both made news yesterday, not that they asked to make news, but at the president's press conference because of how he treated them in the face of his female approval numbers falling through the floor. Seemed like bad timing. Cecilia Vega and the president, here's that exchange.
Okay, question? Yeah, go ahead. Sure. She's shocked that I picked her. It's like in a state of shock.
I'm not thinking, Mr.
That's
President.
Okay. I know you're not thinking. You never do.
I'm sorry?
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Come on. Now, he said that he thought that's what she said, that she wasn't thinking, and she said, thank you.
That's I wasn't thinking. I'm shocked that you picked me, and he interrupted her.
Oh, I thought it was a thank you.
No. Charming. I got more. Caitlin Collins and CNN. And this is a little visual because you have to picture how this went down. And Caitlin Collins refusing to sit down. Roll it.
Thank you, Mr. President. Now that you've answered several questions on trade, I'd like to turn
Do you have a question on trade? We'll do one or two more questions on trade.
You answered several questions
on trade.
Okay,
don't do that. That's not nice.
Mr. President,
and besides that, somebody is before you. Excuse me. Don't do that. Do you have a question on trade?
You answered several questions.
Do you have
on
a
trade?
Question on trade?
My question is on Judge
Kavanaugh.
Okay,
please, yes.
You said
please.
The FBI should interview whoever that they believe is appropriate. Does that include Julie Swetnick, the third accuser? And can you promise to release the full findings?
Give me your question,
FBI,
please.
After they finish their report, Mr. President?
Give me your question, please.
Mr. President, was the...
Give her the mic, please.
Thank you very much.
Caitlin Collins refused to sit down, and he ended up going back to her. There's also sort of an unwritten rule that if a reporter gets blown off by the politician, the next reporter kicks the question back to them, and the woman did not, and she was believed to be a plant. How about that?
Is he not? Did he say at the beginning, "I'm only doing trade"? Don't.
No.
No.
Whatever.
No. Just more of the charm of the President of the United States. Coming up, Stories of Matter with Steve Grzanich from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio.
Third down and goal. They try the same play again, and this time a touchdown to Taylor Gabriel. The sixth touchdown pass in this game for Trubisky, who had 12 starts a year ago through seven.
Six. My favorite number is six.
Nobody's favorite number is six.
Sometimes I spend the whole afternoon sitting around.
Wow, such a good number. Six.
A tune about six.
It's Steve Cochran Show. Justin Kaufman in for Steve, who's going to check out that itchy back. I guess that's since he asked for the itchy shoulder blade.
The listener diagnosed him with spinal stenosis, just like the Northwestern player has right now. So right. I'm hoping that's not the case.
I said Zika, but I don't know. I don't have any medical experience. So there's that. I don't know about you, Adam Hogue, if you have experience with an itchy shoulder blade.
No, not that. I do have some back problems, but not itchy shoulder
blade.
Not itchy shoulder blade.
You know, if this turns out to be something significant, we're all going to feel really bad.
You're right, David. That's right. Adam Hogue, of course, we have a lot to talk about with the Chicago Bears, with the dismantling of the number one offense and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to go to 3-1. 3-1 before the bye. But before we do that, you had another role, of course, this season when you were doing post, pre and post for the Chicago White Sox. Really immersed yourself in baseball. The big story of the night, of course, is the Chicago Cubs and the wild card. What do you expect tonight from a Rockies team coming to Wrigley?
Yeah, I think it's going to be tough for the Rockies. I think you go advantage Cubs. I actually felt yesterday like the Brewers had the advantage just because they're just playing better baseball than the Cubs are right now. And they just seem to be coming up with every clutch hit. So I thought in a one-game playoff like yesterday, the Brewers had the advantage. But today I'm going to go back to the Cubs because they got John Lester on the hill. The Rockies had to travel all night coming from Los Angeles. Now, we've seen times in the past where that didn't seem to matter. I specifically remember when the Angels had to fly overnight to come play the White Sox in game one of the ALCS in 2005. That ended up being the only game in the entire playoffs the White Sox lost. So that doesn't always mean something, but I think the Cubs have the advantage tonight. I think they'll win.
I think the one thing that you hit on there that would concern you if the Cubs is that the Brewers have been hot. The Rockies have been the hottest thing going. I mean, they've been right there. Yeah, up until yesterday, and even when they were down, 5-0, and then they get the home runs from Arenado and Story late in the game, you're thinking they could come back and tie this game up. They have so many guys who can pound the ball, and that's the only thing. Because I agree with you, Adam. I think having Lester on the mound, he's pitched in 25 postseason games. He's starting, I think, his 22nd tonight. Going up against a guy who's never pitched in the playoffs before. I think there's a lot to be said for that. But remember, Colorado played in the wild card game last year on the road, lost. So, they do have some. They've had a taste of it now.
Let's just be honest. The Cubs need to hit the ball. They're just not hitting
well
enough.
Well, that's the other thing, yeah. This is a Colorado team that can really score runs.
Whatever happens, I want it decided early in the game because I don't need a late-inning stress thing. It's hard to go to bed.
Do you know who the closer is for the Rockies?
I don't.
Wade Davis. The former Chicago Cubs closer. So that could be another. You just don't want to see him in the game at all.
No. I want it to be a blowout one side or the other. So that way we can go to bed easy. That means the Cubs have to hit early, which hasn't really been happening.
Yeah, so we'll see that game, of course, tonight, the wild card playoff game. The winner takes on the Milwaukee Brewers.
Yes.
and coming up on Thursday. All right, let's talk Chicago Bears. What a surprising story, Adam. At the beginning of the season, we were talking about where were we in the rebuild with a new coach and an emerging offense that we have not seen in Chicago and literally had not seen. Watching it come together, what was your takeaway from the offensive performance that we saw on Sunday?
Yeah, I mean, I think we saw two things. Obviously, Mitch played a lot better, and in a lot of ways, it's pretty simple. He hit throws that he just had not been making the first three games, and that's why I was still sort of optimistic about Mitch after 3 weeks, because I'm looking at it and I'm going, these guys are open. He just needs to make the throws. Now, maybe he won't ever make the throw, but if he figures it out, this thing's going to look pretty good. But also, here's what we're seeing as we go into the offense. Now, three out of the first four games, the Bears have scored on the first drive of the game. Now, what was happening in the first couple weeks is that defenses were adjusting. That happens all the time. You come in with unscouted looks early in the game that the defense hasn't seen, and then they adjust. Dave, you and I saw that the other night with Northwestern.
Yep.
Cats moved the ball first couple drives, and they couldn't move it the rest of the game because of Michigan adjusted. The cool thing about Matt Nagy's offense, and I think we started to see this against Tampa Bay, is, and we've heard this phrase over and over and over again since the offseason, plays on plays. There's so many, like, you might look at one play, and Matt Nagy has five different plays built into one play, if that makes sense. We specifically saw that on Josh Bellamy's touchdown, and I've been hearing it from fans. Why are they running so much screens? Why is Josh Bellamy even on the field? Well, they have been running these bubble screens the first 3 weeks to the outside where Josh Bellamy's blocking, and guess what? Tampa saw that on tape over and over and over again. So what did they do on Sunday? They faked that bubble screen to the outside.
Yeah, that was impressive.
Josh Bellamy ran wide open in the end zone, and they scored a touchdown on it. So you're going to see more and more of that as we go forward.
I was going to say,
offense.
Adam, is that why we're seeing such wide open Bears receivers? The idea that they're plays upon plays where people have seen the Bears on tape and they think they're going one direction, they go the other.
Yeah, that's where they were almost sort of an awkward spot the first couple weeks, because it was to their advantage early in the game that the defenses hadn't seen this offense on tape yet. But once they adjusted, you know, they hadn't. It almost was working against the Bears that they hadn't seen things on tape, because Nagy's offense is built on defensive coaches sitting there during the week and going, okay, we identified this key, and now we're going to play off of that to confuse the defense and do something different. That's what good offensive coordinators do, and I think Matt Nagy is clearly one of those better offensive minds. This is the kind of stuff the Bears just didn't even try to do last year in that awful offense they had.
And Willy Wonka now has a place in Bears history.
Yeah, that's the play with the two quarterbacks on the field. How about Matt Nagy going back to it? I mean, I know he was livid on the sideline, because they come out there at the goal line earlier in the game. Chase Daniels standing next to Mitch Trubisky. I'm looking to my binoculars and I'm going, oh my God, what is this? What's going to happen? And then false start Kyle Long. And I'm like, I'm angry. I'm like, come on, I want to know what that play was. And so, you know, Matt Nagy, who's had that in his playbook and wanted to bring it out, had to just be fuming over there. And I guess what happened was Chase Daniel came back to the sideline, and Matt immediately said to him, we're going to it again. Be ready, we're going to it again. And sure enough, later, they did it. I imagine, and I said this to Chase in the locker room after the game, I said, hey, I'm guessing you guys have a few more wrinkles with that formation with you out there.
Right, same idea.
He just looked at me and goes, we'll see.
Well, that's the same idea, that there's so many different places you can go with the ball when you have both those quarterbacks out there. And we saw something completely out of the blue with a little shovel pass to Taylor Gabriel as he came across the formation. But, yeah, there's so many different places you can go. So, yeah, you're absolutely right. We may see that play again and again and again.
Well, it just goes to show you the confusion that they gave to the Bucs on that play, because the concept is kind of ridiculous if you think about it. They were faking a handoff to Chase Daniel. I mean, and the defenders bid on it. Why, they're not going to hand the ball off to Chase Daniel. He's not a running back, but the defenders bid on it, and they didn't really account for Taylor Gabriel coming across the formation, who is the much faster guy, the guy you want to have the ball in the hand. So if they bring out that formation again, they're obviously going to have a different wrinkle to it.
All right, let's do this. We'll take a break real quick here, and we come back. Let's talk about the real strength of this Bears team, which is the defensive side of the football, and possible MVP, not just Defensive Player of the Year, but possible MVP candidate Khalil Mack. Adam Hogue covers the Bears for WGN Radio. We're here on the Steve Cochran Show.
Nothing more lovely than six.
I don't know, Bert.
When someone says, hey, Bert, pick a number. Well, I always pick the one nobody picks.
It's Steve Cochran Show here at 720 WGN. Six. Justin Kaufman in for Steve. A lot of text coming in. As Steve, of course, was complaining about his itchy shoulder blade. A lot of people playing WebMD today. Adam Hogue, I asked you about the shoulder blade. A lot of these texts, the one that stands out, though, is 312 that says, Justin, you are a softball legend. That's pretty great.
What's that got to do with the shoulder blade?
Well, he just wanted to bring it back.
I just wanted to bring it back. Three-time champion in 6 years. Champion last night in my 16-inch softball league once again, buddy.
Really?
Yeah. Adam, do you play softball, 16-inch?
I used to, yeah. When I was living in the city, we had that radio league that was always a lot of fun to play in.
Well, you know, I was a free agent for this team, the Chicago Now team that we won the championship with. I'm thinking, you know, trying to figure out if a WGN radio team could come out of... Dave, would you play 16-inch softball?
Well, I think the season's over.
Well, I'm saying next year.
Let's just see how next year stacks up.
I need some tough mutters. You know, I
can do the tough mutter, but I'm not sure about softball.
I'm not playing in that team.
Mary's playing.
Yeah, I don't.
We had
play.
A team like 3 years ago, and it just sort of fizzled. Yeah.
It's Brad Foray's problem.
Can we play in the suburbs?
Yes, we can play in the suburbs.
Thanks.
Let's try to get the diamond in Forest Park. Right? Let's get the big 16-inch softball Hall of Fame diamond and see if we can get a league going there.
I know I'm good with that.
Over there.
Yeah.
There
I prefer go. The western suburbs, but
right.
Okay.
Well, that's close, right?
Hey, Adam.
Park Forest Park.
Steve Cochran said that even though Trubisky was good on Sunday, he still wants to trade him for Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah. Look, and I watched that whole game last night. Mahomes is good. I mean, he just is. He's very impressive to watch. It's possible they're both good. You know, it's not like there could only be one good quarterback from the draft. So I still think Mitch is a good fit for this Bears offense, and let's still relax and give it some time. Remember, Mahomes got to be in this same exact system with Matt Nagy all last year and learn behind a really good quarterback in Alex Smith, where Mitch was thrown out there in a bad offense and had to just go play, was sort of thrown to the wolves. So I think you'll continue to see adjustment here from improvement from Mitch throughout the year.
Adam, let's talk about the defense. Obviously, no one's paying attention to the defensive performance on Sunday because of what Mitch Trubisky and the offense did, putting up 6 touchdowns. But the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Ryan Fitzpatrick were the number one offense in the NFL. They came in and scored 3 points through 3 quarters. Once again, Khalil Mack leading the way. I have not seen something like this since maybe the Urlacher-led defenses of the late 2000s, but this is impressive for 2018 football.
Yeah, you're right, Justin, that this sort of went under the radar, but to me, this was complete validation that this defense is for real. Because, we could say the Bucs' secondary is no good and Mitch was completing passes to wide-open receivers, which isn't even completely true. He was throwing a lot of good balls. But, okay, fine, the Bucs' defense isn't good. But their offense is good. And the Bears' defense shut them down for pretty much that entire game and kept up what they had been doing against Seattle's offense, which isn't that good, and the Cardinals' offense, which obviously isn't that good. But they validated everything that they've been doing so far this season against a really good Bucs team. And especially without Prince Amukamara on the field and 3 really good wide receivers that the Bucs have, from start to finish, they continue to be dominant. So I think it's completely fair to start saying that this defense, you can start comparing it to the good Lovie Smith defenses from 10, 12
awesome.
Years ago,
yeah.
Because they're playing at that level right now.
And one thing that kind of got overshadowed after the game on Sunday was the Akeem Hicks ejection, which was just kind of a bizarre moment. I mean, if the Bears, it's already a blowout at that point, or I suppose we would have talked a whole lot more about that. But is that something that Adam fans need to be concerned about, him maybe not being available for the next game and they come off the bye week?
Yeah, it's possible. I have that on my list today to check in with the league and find out when we might hear news on a possible suspension, because typically it takes a couple days. They'll have some conference calls, hear Keem's side of the story, hear the referee's side of the story. The official word from the referees after the game was that he deliberately pushed the referee in the middle of a scrum that started with the players. My guess is that Akeem didn't really realize it was a referee that was trying to hold him back, maybe another player, and he pushed back. The bottom line is he lost his cool and he shoved the referee, which you can't do. It's against the rules. So I do think you have to be slightly worried about suspension. He'll definitely get fined. The question is, do they factor in the fact that he already missed half this game and really almost three quarters of this game as part of a possible suspension going forward? You also consider his history. He doesn't really have a history of being a dirty player or shoving referees or anything like that. So I'm kind of 50-50 on if he'll get suspended. It didn't cost them against the Bucks, but they need him against Miami, so that would certainly be a blow if they don't have him.
You know, and we'll talk much more about the Dolphins after the bye week, but what typically happens in the bye week? Do they get to go do their own thing for the first week and then come back to practice after?
Well, it definitely changes from coach to coach, and I'm glad you brought this up, Justin, because I wanted to bring this up, because we saw under John Fox, he would hold a couple practices and not really let them go until Thursday, and then they would have basically the weekend off. Matt Nagy's giving the players the whole week off. They had to come in for injury checks yesterday and a couple things, but they're now free to go for the whole week, and I think they report back either Sunday or Monday morning.
Cabo, baby.
Yeah, I mean, if they want to, they can go wherever they want.
Cabo.
But Matt Nagy was asked about this yesterday, and he said, look, this is the way that Andy Reid did it. And guess what? Andy Reid is one of the best coaches in football coming off a bye. This is kind of a legendary record that he has. He is 20-3 coming off a bye week, Andy Reid is. And that includes the postseason when you get a first-round bye in the playoffs. So Matt Nagy's learned from a coach who kind of knows what he's doing, and he's rewarding these guys. Right. It was going to be that way even if they had lost on Sunday, by the way. And so maybe Matt Nagy can carry this over for the Bears, that impressive bye week record.
There you go. The Hogan Johns podcast is going to be live at the Cortland's Garage. When is that going to be, and give us information?
Yeah, tomorrow night, Wednesday, we're going from 7 to 8 o'clock p.m. at Cortland's Garage in the city. That's 1645 West Cortland in Chicago. These are a lot of fun. We've done a few of them since the summer, and actually going back to the draft. So come out, hang out with us. We'll do the podcast for an hour, and then we'll probably hang out and have a couple beers with our listeners as well.
There you go. Adam Hogue covers the Bears for WGN Radio. Adam, thanks, buddy.
All right, thanks, guys.
There you go. A little Bears talk. I love it. Cubs tonight as well. A little sports heavy here in Chicago.
That's a good thing.
Good time to be a sports fan in Chicago. All right, let's do this. Let's take a break. We'll come back, and we'll get the headlines with Steve Grzanich. It's WGN Radio. Stay with us.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show. Well, I got me a fine wife, got me old fiddle. When the sun's coming up, I got cakes on a riddle. Life ain't nothing but a funny, funny riddle.
Thank God I'm a country boy. Woo-hoo! Steve Cochran Show here on 720 WGN and CLTV. I'm Justin Coffin in for Steve. He'll be back in the morning. Dave Ennett, Mary Sandberg, Mary Vandeveld, Steve Grzanich are here, as well as Orion Samuelson, who joins us on Tuesday. Lots to talk about when it comes to farming, agriculture, and, of course, trade. A big week for the president and his new trade agreement with Canada and Mexico. Orion, thanks for joining us. Appreciate it.
Well, good to be with you again, and we have moved from the floods of Arizona back to the rain in the Midwest in the past week, but that Pacific hurricane dumping quite a bit of water in the southwestern part of the country, and I spent last Saturday with cattle growers from Yavapai County, Arizona. They were all hoping they'd get some rain, but I'm not sure hoping they'd get as much as they're getting, apparently.
Well, Orion, I would assume that when you have climates like you do in the Southwest, that they're not equipped when there's floodwaters, when there's more rain than there should be.
Well, the first thing is they don't put in storm sewers. I mean, there's no reason to, because they average 8 inches of rain a year. So they don't put in storm sewers, and that means the water from heavy rains has to flow on top of the ground, and that leads to flooded streets, and people do there what they do all over. They love to drive into water, and then they stall. But I think I think in Phoenix now, they charge $1,500 if you drive into an area where the signs say don't drive, and you get flooded and stopped and maybe in some cases washed away.
One of the big stories that came out of Hurricane Florence was how waste from farms was going to end up in some of the flooded areas in North Carolina and South Carolina. Is that something of a concern when you think about flooding in the Southwest as well, since these farms aren't equipped for flooding issues?
Not so much, because I think the dairies, and the dairies in Arizona are pretty large, a lot of cows, and I think they take into account the threat of flooding, and they prepare for it better than the roadways and the yards and everything else. So it's always a concern, of course, that you're going to get waste material into some of the streams, and that certainly happens in the hurricane areas along the East Coast, but not so much in Arizona.
Isn't most waste biodegradable and fertilizer anyway? Is it toxic?
Well, yeah, once you get past the smell and getting it cleaned up and all that sort of thing, it is, for the most part, biodegradable and becomes fertilizer if you're in a farming community, but not if you're in a town or city community.
Yeah. All right, let's make a transition to what the president's new trade agreement, the USMCA, which will replace NAFTA. This is something that has been talked about in the campaign, and of course, terse negotiations. But at the end of the day, it seems the three countries came together. Canada is saying this is great for them. Mexico is saying it's great for them. And so does the United States. Is it a win-win-win for everybody?
Not for everybody. The dairy farmers in Canada are not happy at all with it because they have a quota system for farms on producing milk. And that quota system, if you have a farm and you have an auction and you have a pretty high quota system, that is biddable, as well as the cows. And so they have now lost that, and they have also, I think, they're going to have to open up their markets a little bit more to exports from the United States. But I'd say, for the most part, the agreement is probably better than a lot of people thought it would be. And, you know, it's a $1 trillion plus trading total annually. So it's important, I think, to all three countries that they be a part of it. Frankly, I am surprised that Canada came in at the last minute. I didn't expect that because they were holding strong, and Mr. Trudeau and Mr. Trump were going back and forth saying, we're not going to do this. But in the end, Canada did give us some of the concessions that we were looking for. And of course, it wasn't just agricultural products. It was also the content of cars that are manufactured in the various countries of Canada, Mexico particularly. And so that's going to change the overall picture of what used to be NAFTA. And, you know, maybe after 20 years, it does
time
need
for an upgrade.
Up.
Yeah. The one I saw this Business Insider piece about that this could limit free trade deals with other countries, namely China, meaning that Canada and Mexico and the United States are now in a coalition, that, and this will change the way that they're able to work with China. Obviously, so much being made about our relationship with the EU, but also with our own, the North American continent. What does this deal mean for our relationship and continuing tariff situation, if not trade war, with China?
Hard to say, because you never know what is happening in China. Their information on production and everything else is pretty difficult to trust and to get accurate numbers. So I think at this point we're going to continue to play the game, my dad is tougher than your dad, and go back and forth. But ultimately, the interesting thing is China was our biggest soybean buyer. They haven't bought many of the U.S. soybeans because they're going to Brazil, Argentina, and other countries. But what's happening now is Brazil could buy 1 million tons of U.S. Wow. soybeans. And the reason they're doing that is to fulfill the contracts they made with Chinese buyers back before all of this activity started. And so I think, even though they're not buying our beans are getting into China, not the volume they were, but they're certainly not being kept out as they get there through the other countries.
My last question for you, Orion. There's much made about the the checks that would be cut to farmers because of the tariff. I don't want to say trade war, but the tariff situation. And I read an article last week just about how some farmers, as those checks are about to come in, are concerned that it's not going to be enough to cover. Is that something that you're hearing, that the sort of farming buyout or bailout that the government put up this summer is not enough?
Well, I don't think it'll be enough to make up fully for the price of soybeans and corn that we have seen go down since the trade activity started. But, you know, farmers kept saying, even when the announcement was made by the Trump administration, we want trade. We don't want aid. And farmers, for the most part, have never really been in favor of aid from the government unless there's a weather disaster, right. then they've got to have some help. But on this one, they're not that happy with the aid program, I think, that was put forth. And no, I don't think it'll be enough to make up for the drop in price.
So, Orion, Justin won his 16-inch softball league championship last night.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you, Orion. It means so much.
He's
coming from a Hall of Famer to a Hall of Famer.
Three-time champion here. so there's a lot of talk about, you know, revitalizing the WGN 16-inch softball league team here. Were you ever a member of the team, and would you like to be a member now?
I was never a member of the team, but I certainly remember it because we'd get weekly updates on what the team was doing. And, you know, when there was a champion proclaimed, it was big news, big excitement. So I'd say, Justin, you have a lot to be proud of. You probably have to rebuild the mantle over your fireplace to handle the trophy.
All those plastic trophies. I will ask you this, if it's okay by you and Gloria, if I can come down to Arizona this winter and do winter ball.
You can do that. Yes.
There we go.
Because, you know, we're not snowbirds. We go back and forth year round. And, of course, since I'm dealing with Mayo on trying to get this back situation straightened out, we do go back and forth.
All right.
United Airlines has to love us because we're one of their regulars between Chicago and Phoenix. But we love the desert. We love the Midwest. The thing we miss at this time of the year in the desert is the color change.
All right.
It stays green, and we don't see much in the way.
Well, I will if I can just get room and board, I'll cover the pool. I'll clean the pool, and I will play softball all day. That's what I'll do.
Gloria will appreciate that because she pretty much takes care of the pool because she's the swimmer. I'm not, but we do spend time in the pool. Yes. So okay, we'll make arrangements. We'll work out the dates. We'll send you confirmation of your reservation.
Big O, Orion Samuelson. Thanks, buddy.
Okay.
There you go.
What was the Hall of Famer to Hall of Famer part? I kind of missed. You got a call.
He's a Hall of Famer.
You got an email from George at the Hall of Fame. That doesn't make you a Hall of Famer.
If this is breaking news, I know that there were, you know, people might not have listened earlier. George from the 16-inch Hall of Fame in Forest Park, he sent me an email this morning saying compliments from the 16-inch Hall of Fame on your championship. That's like being in the Hall of Fame.
It practically is. And
it's practically.
Because Justin is the only player in this 8-year history to be on three championship teams.
It's a 16-inch softball Hall of Fame, right? Not just short people.
No, 16. Sorry, 16-inch softball.
How did George put that together so quickly? Did he have a tip?
He's following social media. There's a lot on Twitter, a lot on social media.
Trending last night.
Everywhere. It was trending. Championship was trending.
Trump even saw it, probably.
Yeah. So my goal, though, I'm making it clear right now that I would like to enter a WGN radio team into the 16-inch league next year. So Bertrand, Mary. What do you think?
Me?
Can you play? You got skills?
With these delicate
former
fingers?
Cheerleader. Or pom-pom, man.
Steve, got
I'll be on the
fingers.
Sidelines cheering you on. How's that?
We'll call them the hamstrings.
Yeah, there you go. We'll do the hamstrings. There'll be a ton of ringers.
Or the groins. I want that.
Yeah, there you go. I'll get our 23-year-old ringers together. They'll be the ones who do the heavy lifting, but we'll need some. Bertrand, you need to be there for FaceTime, so it gives us a good look.
Really? That's going to help your look?
Yeah.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Steve's back in the morning. There it is, Hall of Fame. Man, it feels so good, Dave, to be in the Hall of Fame. Complimented by the Hall of Fame.
And Dave's also in the Hall of Fame, so I guess you two are both Hall of
Famers. We're both Hall of Famers. How's it feel to be in the Hall of Fame with me? That's
great. Okay, we're not the same one, first of all. But I'm glad. I'm happy for you. I'm glad. This is you should be basking in the moment.
The Cup League, the named after Irv Cupsinet. It's the Media League, 16-inch softball league. It has been around. It was rebirthed, if you will, after watching those famous Royko videos hanging out the Billy Goat, and it has been in existence since 2011. I have now, in 7 years, won three championships, played in a fourth championship, lost to Pete Zimmerman. That was the first year.
This is with four different teams or three?
Two different teams.
Two different teams. Okay.
And then also
that's because Pete Zimmerman is a dominant force in the 16-inch softball.
Yeah, that's questionable.
The Kristen Yelich of softball. Yes, and that's what kids are calling
The other
Pete
part
right
about the asterisk in that story right there, three championships in 7 years, is I didn't play for three of those years. Oh. When I was doing the download, I was out.
Oh.
So three of those years. So really you're talking about a ton.
Well, what I hear when
success.
I hear those statistics is a player who can't find a home.
Oh.
I mean,
or get kicked off.
Are you one of those guys?
He's left, the Dez Bryant of 16-inch softball.
I'm the Kevin Durant of 16-inch softball. I was a free agent. I got out of it. So there you go. Oh. Coming up, the stories that matter with Steve Bertrand from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. Bill and Wendy coming up.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
Bill and Wendy are here. They're up next. You guys, how you doing?
Steve.
It's that button.
Steve. There you go. It's good. Steve is getting his itchy shoulder blade checked out.
Oh. Bad day for him to do that because I raced in. I want to hear the Sting story so
yeah,
badly.
Yeah, I did too.
That's so unfair.
Or Stink, as Dean calls him. Yeah. I love that.
I want to hear it.
I know. He keeps teasing little bits that he can't tell us.
Ah, I know. That's not fair.
There's a shower involved. That's all that. Oh. That's all that was leaked out of that story.
Did you enjoy, though, Dean and I serenading with Tonight from West Side Story?
Yeah, wasn't that great?
Yeah. Wow, was that good, Dave.
That's my favorite musical.
So
Dave's
good.
Too.
Can you sing I Feel
Is it
Pretty?
Still? Yeah. I'll hold that for tomorrow.
All right.
Wait till
Can't
ratings
give it away. What are you guys doing today?
Bob Odenkirk will be on the show.
That's so great.
I love
Thank
him.
You.
Yeah. Thank amazing. You.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, you said that so great. We just assumed we get some credit for that.
I love Bob Odenkirk. One of my favorites. He's a great, great actor and comedian.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And David Hochberg.
Thank you.
David Hochberg.
Yeah.
Great.
Same show. What other show has that going on? Better call Hochberg.
Better call. All right. Have a great show, guys.
The Steve Cochran Show celebrates the most valuable person on the planet weekday mornings at 7:20 on 720 WGN Chicago.